Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle and purify our hearts. Surround us in this place. Want you to breathe new life within us. Send a refreshing love. Purify our hearts. Let your glory fill.
Let your glory fill
me. Let your all consuming fire. We see your glory. We see your glory, Lord. You're high and you're lifted up. And your train fills the timber. We worship you, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we bow down in your presence as the angels do, and we cry, holy, 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 holy,
welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your hostess, Teresa Scott, taking the helm tonight. Hallelujah. I don't know if y'all can hear me because I'm actually doing this on Skype. So if you all can hear me, somebody let me know. But anyway, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Again, this is Teresa Scott back on the helm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just want to take this opportunity to thank God for another broadcast. Today is Saturday, December the 10th, 2010, 7 p.m. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I just want to say that sometimes, you know, we act crazy and, you know, act like, you know, we forget that God is God. But God is God whether we choose to remember that He is God or not. He is still God. He still sits on the throne. And I just want to just take this time to tell God thank you. Even though I've been in His presence today, my body is tired, but God is just awesome. He's a consuming fire. I love it when He does the things that He does because He is awesome. Today I went to a women's symposium and I was one of the guest speakers, but I want to tell you how interesting God is that the same thing that I wanted to talk about tonight on Blog Talk Radio, the woman talked about at the women's symposium today about principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world and how we need a paradigm shift and we need to change our mind about some things. Hold on for 1 second. Hello, we have a caller on the line, area code 678. I know who this is. Hi, Purified Daughter.
I love you.
I love you too.
I can hear you, but the chat room is not open.
What do you mean?
Your chat room. You have to launch out the chat room.
Oh, okay.
So I can hear you on the air on Skype extremely well. And I would like to go in the chat room and do not call me on the air. I'm just going to post scriptures for you tonight.
You are on the air right now.
Oh, hello, everyone. This is Purified behind the scene. I cut up behind the scene, but it's in love.
She said, don't put me on you're on the phone. Lord,
I love
today.
You, but can you please allow us to come into the chat room?
I don't know why you weren't able to come in the chat room. I'm doing this on Skype, so is that affecting it? I don't know.
I don't know, but I'm going to try to log out, and I'm going to log back in to see because it just says come in. It's not allowing it to come into the chat. But we will see If not, then God be the glory.
It should. If you log in my way, you should be able to do it, because I'm not logged in. I'm just doing it on Skype.
Okay, well, I will log in the other way. And ciao, I will see you later.
Okay, but you got to listen. Make sure you listen, because you got to the place that I went to today for the women's conference was really off the hook. So
awesome. Are you going to share some of that tonight on the show?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Awesome.
Yeah,
well, I'm listening, and I'll log in under you, and so therefore we can lunch out the chat room just in case people have questions they want to post out there.
Okay. If it doesn't work, love you too. If it doesn't work, just
I'll text you on your cell phone, dear.
Okay.
Go, go, go. It's 7-Eleven. You need
it's
to be talking. I love you much.
All right, love you much too.
Okay. Okay.
You're
love
funny.
You too. Bye-bye.
You're funny.
I know, I love you though.
Okay, so everybody, we were talking about the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world of spiritual wickedness in high places. And as you know, if you've listened to any of the broadcasts prior to this, Purified Daughter was on and she was talking about some of these things as well. She was talking about the whole armor of God. And she was saying how she never takes her armor off. She sleeps in it. She showers in it. But this person that was at the symposium today didn't even get to the whole armor of God. She got to talking about the principalities. And when she started breaking down this thing, and the way she was just explaining things, it just made me have to take another look at myself, but a look at myself for real, like in a way I never had to look at myself before. I know I've looked at myself other times. I said I was going to change this, and I said I was going to change that, and I did for a second, you know, for a few minutes. I changed and, you know, tried to get my attitude together and get it under control, but it didn't last long. I wish I had it on tape, because y'all really got to hear how the Holy Spirit broke this thing down to her, the way she was talking, and it was like everybody was sitting there looking at her like, wow, because we never heard it broken down that way. She said the reason why a lot of people act the way they act is because they have ruling passions inside of them, and they're there as an undercurrent. They're not there in the forefront. She said, like, think about the Titanic. The captain of the ship, he thought he could make it past that iceberg. He saw the iceberg, but he thought he could make it past it, but he didn't take into account the part of the iceberg that was underneath the water. And I said, well, okay, so he didn't take into account what's under the water. And she started saying, we don't take into account we say the scripture, principalities, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wicked in high places. We say that, but we don't really look at it and really see that there's an undercurrent in us. If you're a person that's you full of rage, every time you turn around, you just going crazy. Maybe every time you turn around, you know, you got this major attitude problem, or you have a problem with lust. You know, you have a problem with lust. You can't stop fornicating. You can't stop committing adultery. She said that's your ruling passion. If that's what you keep having problem with, that is what's ruling you. But you got to get to the root of it. You got to get to the root of it. You got to get to the root of it. We've heard this before. All of us have heard this before. But it's time for us to take the principalities in our lives. We talk about the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places as if it's all just out there in the atmosphere. And it is out in the atmosphere. But what part of that stuff has taken control of us? What part of that is underlying in us that's making us, that we are allowing to control our lives, that have become rulers in us? I'm talking about rulers of this earth and spiritual wicked in high places. Some things are in us that are causing us to continue to live like the devil. And we say we have Jesus Christ in our lives as our Lord and Savior, but yet every time we turn around, we're doing something that's ungodly. It's unchristlike. It's like there's something else ruling inside of us. And we know the scripture tells us that our members, our bodies, we're warring in the spirit. You know, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. We realize that there is a unseen battle going on, but we got to take control of, because we have authority over every unclean spirit, the word of God says. The word of God says we have authority over every unclean spirit. Jesus gave us authority over the enemy. He gave us power to tread on serpents and scorpions, but we don't use that power, and we allow this ruling entity to just come in and then just wreak havoc in our lives. And she said today, and I didn't get angry when she said it, but it caused me to sit down and think. She said, you know, she called it a diabolical spirit. She said, you link yourself with these diabolical spirits, and you're not even taking into account what you're doing. You know, have you ever stopped and asked the Lord, for real, why am I acting like this? You've already prayed. You've already rebuked this. You already said this, and you already said that. You already forgiven whoever you had to forgive. At least you said you did. You've already went through the emotions, but you've done it on the surface. Have you really gotten down into the spirit and really, really, really identified that thing in the spirit? Or did you get rid of the root? You know, whatever is causing this, have you gotten rid of it? What is going on? What are you doing? Why are you still acting like this? I mean, for years and years, you keep doing the same thing. And we need to know. Well, nobody else needs to know but you, for real, for real. Okay? But we need to stop saying that we belong to Jesus Christ and acting like the devil. We need to take authority over these things, the principalities, the powers, the rulers, the darkness of this world, spiritual wicked in high places. We need to take authority over those things as believers. It's time for us to step up as believers and live godly, because there's people out here that's not getting saved because we acting like we cuckoo. Don't nobody want to get saved, and all you do is holler and holler and holler, and, you know, it got to be your way. She said today, some of y'all sitting here, every time you turn around, things got to be your way. Why everything got to be your way? Why do everything got to be your way? If it's not your way, there's a problem. Why is it like that? I didn't have an answer. I didn't try to answer her. But what I'm saying is that I know I need to do another evaluation of myself, and I need to get it together. But it's time to stop evaluating, and it's time to start living right. The bottom line is stop evaluating and get it together. Most of us know what our problem is. We've already been through, you know, the repentance, the forgiveness. Oh, I had to forgive so-and-so because they did this years ago. We've already been through that part. Now, most of the time when we do stuff, we just do stuff because we want to do it. It's just the flesh. It's just the flesh, the untrained, unruly flesh. We still living after our Adamic nature instead of living after the nature of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, let me tell you something. I'm so glad I went to that women's thing today. It's not even funny. I'm glad. She said we have passions of controlling. We have controlling passions and desires. And as you mad and nasty and angry because you want to be. You done been in a prayer line 50,000 times. Come on. Okay? You still less than a committing fornication. Come on now. You done been, people done laid hands on you. They done cast the devil out of you. They done cast that spirit out of you. And then you just went back and you decided, you know, I can't take it no more. So let me go ahead and fornicate again. God don't know. Or if he does know, he understands that I'm human. And he understands that I got to. No, that's not God. That's the natural man speaking. God want us to be satisfied. But God has put sex in its proper place, and he put it in the marriage setting, okay? So, yes, I'm married, and I'm talking about this, but I can talk about that, too. So you might not have a problem with fornication. Maybe you got a problem with lying on people. Maybe you got a problem causing division. Maybe you got a problem with stealing, or maybe backbiting. You know, you got people that live, they get up in the morning time. She didn't say this, but I'm saying some people get up in the morning time and they plan their day They plan to ruin somebody's life. They plan to, oh, I'm going to talk about so-and-so today. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that because I'm going to make sure that this person don't like this person and this, that, and the third. That's foolishness. And Purified Dirty said, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. It's just time that those of us that call on the name of the Lord, that we grow up. Whatever it is that we need to grow up on. Maybe whatever it is, your problem might not be anger. Your problem might not be lust and masturbation and homosexuality or whatever the case like that. Maybe you got a problem with telling the truth. Maybe you got a problem with whatever it is. Look, I ain't in your head. I don't know the conversation that you have with your imaginary friend, so I don't know what kind of conversations you have, but as adults, as people that call on the name of Jesus Christ, those of us that say we love the Lord, we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, it's time for us to live like it and act like it. It's time for us to put away the childish things. Stop acting like kids. Tell the truth. You live in a lie. You living in sin. Ask God to forgive you and keep it moving. Live right. If somebody does something to you that you don't like, it's time to just be over it and just let them do what they do, okay? And then you pray for them, all right? That's where we need to move to. If you got something that I think you shouldn't have, that's not my business. That's when you call coveting. The Bible says you shouldn't covet the neighbor's house, nor his wife, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is our neighbor's. Okay, I shouldn't even want what you have. I don't know what you had to go through to get it. But some people sitting back and can't stand you because of what you have. Oh, well, they need to get over that. Okay, but don't go and, you know, broadcast it all over the world. Well, you know, Teresa this and Teresa. Look, if you think Teresa got a problem, please pray for Teresa. Please pray for Teresa, okay? Just please pray for me, okay? Let me tell you something. When Jesus come back, a lot of us are going to have we're going to be shocked. We're going to be shocked because we dipping and diving. We think we hiding. And we might be hiding from people, but God sees everything. We might have evil, bitter stuff in our hearts and think that people that, you know, oh, well, so-and-so don't know I got this bitterness in my heart. So-and-so don't know I feel this way about them. But God knows. God knows. You might not ever admit it, but God knows. He knows what's in each and every one of our hearts. He knows what's in each and every one of our spirits. And it's up to us to get it together. See, Jesus already died on the cross. He already gave his life for our life. He already was wounded and bruised for our transgressions and our iniquities. Jesus already did that. We got to do something. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to just come into us. So much so, I want the Holy Spirit to come into me like I never experienced the Holy Spirit before. I want the Holy Spirit to be in me so much that I will mortify this flesh every time it tries to rise up. I want the Holy Spirit to be in me so much that that my flesh won't even get a chance to rise up. My flesh might even just have the first thought of rising up, and the Holy Spirit just come in. And the Holy Spirit just bring that word back to me, and I just stand on that word, and I rebuke the devil and keep on moving. I want to be so in the Holy Spirit like that. I'm not talking about being in the Holy Spirit because, you know, I want to be this and I want to be. No, I want the Holy Spirit to come in my life and rule in my life, take control over my life. But I have to invite him in, and I have to allow him to do that. See, the Holy Spirit is ready. He's always on the ready, but then our flesh, we allow our flesh to rise up so much that the Holy Spirit just be like, you know what, I'm not even going to try to overthrow what they want to do because that's what they want to do. But I want the Holy Spirit to just come in and change my entire life. I want my life to be changed because really and truthfully, like, I'm sick of Teresa. I really need for Teresa to just get out the way and let the Holy Ghost just come in and transform my mind. I'm human. I know I'm human. You're human. It goes without saying. But it's time that the church grow up. It's time for us as individuals to grow up. It's time for us to stop blaming this person and that person for our shortcomings and our failings. It's time for us to grow up in the Lord. And just like Purified Daughter said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I did childish things. But when I grew up, when I became a man, he said, Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. But we keep doing the same stuff over and over and over and over again. And Minister Howell, I see what you said in the chat room. You said, we need to stop hurting each other. Well, somebody got to start. Somebody got to start. You know, we do tit for tat, tit for tat, tit for tat, tit for tat. You know, we have to just ask the Holy Spirit, look, Holy Spirit, I've been living according to my flesh all this time. I'm acknowledging that I've been living according to my flesh. I acknowledge that I let you in a little bit. You did do a little bit of this and you did a little bit of that. And it wasn't because of my goodness. It was because, you know, God's grace and mercy. Somebody needed that right then. But Holy Ghost, I need you to be in my life. I need to be a whole different person. I need it to be when I wake up in the morning, like somebody put on Facebook. When I wake up in the morning, the devil be like, uh-oh, she's up. Okay, now she put her weight on, as Purified Daughter say. No, oh, she got her weight on. She got her weight up now. Now she got her weight up. Okay, so we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and just transform us. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind with the Word of God. The Bible tells us to be renewed, be transformed, you know, by the renewing of our mind with the Word of God. But we need to allow the Holy Spirit to just come in and just, I want to live this life that I hear people talk about where the Holy Spirit just, the Holy Spirit is just there. Like, they won't do anything unless the Holy Spirit tells them, you know, I want my life to be like that. I want my life to be like that. I want to be holy unto God so that when Jesus does come back, when Jesus does crack the sky, I don't have to be like the 10 foolish virgins that's out there trying to get oil, and then the bridegroom comes while they're going, and then they come back and they knock on the door and they can't get in. Because when Jesus comes, he say he's coming in a moment. He's coming in a twinkling of an eye. That means that you're not going to have a chance to really think about it. He's going to come, and when he comes and then he leaves, it's over. It's over. Signed, sealed, delivered. It's over. What are we going to do if Jesus will crack the sky while we in the midst of our foolishness? Are we saved or aren't we saved? Are we thinking we can say, I'm a little bit saved? Is there such thing as being a little bit saved? I don't think so. I believe that there's a such thing as being young in the Lord, okay, because you just got born again. But, oh, I'm just a little bit saved. Or I could take my salvation off and on. When I get mad, I'm going to take my salvation off because I want to curse and I want to do this. And when I get finished cursing and get ready, finished fighting and get finished fornicating and get finished doing what I have to do, then I'm going to put my salvation back on. Stop it, liar, because you can't do that. Satan has got you so deceived. He has got us deceived, those that do that, okay, that we think we can take, and I don't say that. I don't never say that, but my actions sometimes, I don't have to say it, but my actions sometimes, you know, make it look like that I am saying that. And why am I saying this about myself? Because it's true. If you don't want to hear it, change the station. It's true about a lot of people. A lot of times we just act up. We act like, you know, God is not a play toy. God is serious. God is God. Like, I can't even explain God. God is God. Okay? And all he wants us to do is love him. All we have to do is love him. That's what God is not asking us to sell our soul. He's not asking us to put ourselves on an altar and burn our bodies. He's not asking us to do all of that. He wants us to love him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love the Lord your God. That's what he wants us to do. That's like those of us that have children. That's like, or a husband, or a wife, or whatever, and you do everything you can in your power, and you say, I want you to love me, But then they don't love you. And you sitting there like, why don't they love me? But I imagine God's feelings are hurt way, 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 way more, way much more than our little finite minds can imagine. But God just wants us to love him, and we make it so deep. If God says if we love him, we will keep his commandments. We will obey him. If we love God, we will obey him. If we love God like we say we do, we will mortify this flesh. We will allow the Holy Spirit to help us to mortify this flesh. If we love God like we say we do, if we don't love God, then stop saying it. If we don't live like we love God, stop saying it, because we're making ourselves to be liars. God wants us to love him. God is not putting all these demands on us. We put demands on ourselves, and then we want to blame God as to why we can't live up to him. But if we really look up loving God, if we just really read the Bible and just see that God wants us to love him, that's all he wanted from the Israelites. That's all he wanted was love, and all he kept asking for is for them to obey him. Don't give your heart to the heathen. Don't give your heart to the world. Don't give your heart to everything else. Don't give your heart to your idols. Don't give your heart to everything else. Give your heart to me. Give your heart to me. I am your creator. I am God. I created you. Can't you just love me? So-and-so don't act like they love you. Guess what? You can't look at what so-and-so is doing, because God is holding you responsible for what you do. So what? So-and-so is over there fornicating and they haven't, nothing bad has happened to them, or they haven't got caught. So what? Everything we do in our bodies is being recorded. Everything we say, everything we do. Yes, God forgives us for our sins, and he throws our sins into the sea of forgiveness. But the Bible tells us that everything we do in our body, everything we do in our body, we're going to be judged for. We're going to have to answer to God, well, why didn't you love so-and-so? Oh, well, God, you know I didn't love them because I couldn't, because they, you know, you saw what they did to me. No, I don't think God is going to be listening to excuses. I don't think God is going to be listening to excuses. That's me, though. I'm only human. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't think God is going to listen to excuses. And I know one person who used to say this all the time, and they used to say it so much, it just became that you knew that they were going to say this thing. And they said, you know, all excuses are good, but none are acceptable. I'm sorry, y'all, about this noise. He said, all excuses are good, but none are acceptable. And the first time he said that, I was like, well, you know, people do have excuses as to why they do what they do. But what he was saying was, you keep coming up with the same excuse. You keep coming up with the same excuse over and over and over again, and it's supposed to be okay. We can't see God. God is invisible, but he's supposed to be living in our hearts, and we're supposed to love him, because guess what? When it boils down to it, don't nobody else really do nothing for us. They couldn't do anything for us if God didn't allow it. They couldn't do anything for us if God didn't allow it. So who's really doing for us? Somebody might, you know, take you to the store and buy you the finest clothes, you know, buy you a house full of furniture. They might buy the best car on the lot for you. But if God didn't allow it, they couldn't do it anyway. So who is really blessing you? It's God. And we give people compliments. We tell people thank you all the time. And we forget about the loving God, the God who gives us life every single day. Even when we sin, we forget about him. We forget about the loving, compassionate God. The God that sent his very son, Jesus Christ. The God who wrapped himself up in that body to come down here in the flesh for my stinking sin. I'm trying to tell you. Let me tell you something. I need more of God. I need so much more of God. It's just not even funny. I need so much more of God. Yes, I can say that. I need more Jesus. I don't know. I don't even know if that's the correct saying, that I need more Jesus. I just need to kill this flesh. Kill the desires of this flesh. I need to do it. I need to do what I need to do, because it's my soul salvation. It's my soul salvation. Let's take a listen to this song. This is a familiar song. Y'all hear me play it often, but just listen to this for a few seconds. He wants it all. He wants it all. You know, and I like the chatting that's going on in the chat room. And because I have it on a small chat, I can't see everything like I usually do. But I'm telling you, it's, we live and we learn. We live and we learn. We have to pray for our enemies. Enemies, we're going to always have enemies. Jesus had enemies the whole time he walked this earth. The whole time he walked this earth. And the servant is not greater than the master. So we are going to have enemies, but we are supposed to pray for them. Let me turn to Matthew, because a lot of times people misquote that scripture. I just want to read the whole just read the whole thing, because a lot of times people misquote that scripture. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, but I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Excuse me. And we have people out here that persecute us, and we've been persecutors ourselves. A lot of times we forget that we were out there persecuting people, and maybe some of the reasons why we got enemies coming after us like we did, because we persecuted people at one point in our lives. I can't say that is the reason or it's not the reason, but the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 5, he says, starting in verse 38, you have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, I'm going to ask y'all. I'm just going to ask y'all in the chat room, because y'all in the chat room, if somebody came and smacked you on your right cheek, would you turn your other cheek? Would you turn your left cheek to that person and let them slap it again? Y'all can answer that. I just want to know. Okay, now y'all not talking, but that's okay. If somebody came up to me and slapped me on my right cheek, I am not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that I would turn my other cheek. I have not got to that point in my life yet where I could actually sit here and tell you that I would turn my cheek and let them slap my other one. But that's what Jesus told us to do. That's what Jesus said. Okay? Then he says in verse 40, let me read that again, though. He said, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If it really was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth today, and people were still doing an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, everybody be blind and everybody would have dentures. Ha ha ha, that's funny. Anyway, verse 39 says, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone, verse 40, and if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. That one right there is a sticky point too. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So, if my neighbor across the hall come over my house and they want to borrow whatever they want to borrow today, maybe they want to borrow a pack of pork chops today. Okay, here you go. Here's some pork chops. Then they come back tomorrow. They want to borrow some steak. Then they come back the next day and they want to borrow some chicken. Then they come back the next day. Look, let me just take you to the store and get you some groceries, because you're taking all of my groceries. So let's just go to the store and get some groceries for you. How about that? Is that the right attitude? Definitely is not the right attitude the way I just said it. Oh, she said, let me look at y'all in the chat room, because I keep missing y'all. Y'all having a good time. Why don't y'all get on the phone? Why don't y'all call and let's talk? Okay? Because Purified Daughter in here talking about she would first help her neighbor get a job. Then I will show them how to be faithful stewards of their money. So she's going to teach them. She'll give them a fish, but then she's going to go and teach them how to fish so they can catch their own fish, basically. See? Aha, she just said that. Minister Howell, why don't you call? Purified Daughter is already on the phone, but she don't want me to put her on. So, for real, we got a lot of walking to do. We do a lot of talking. Now we got to walk the walk. If we can't walk the talk, then just shut up. Why are we keep trying to impress people with what we say? We need to be impressing God by what we do. Why do we keep trying to impress people with the million-dollar words and, you know, oh, well, I can quote this scripture and I can quote 500 scriptures and I can do this and I can do that? Why don't we just show the love of God? If we live what the Word of God says, we don't have to worry about trying to impress people with our words. I mean, seriously. I don't know. Purified Order, I'm tired talking right now. It's just... I want Minister Howell to get online. Hello. Purified, you on the phone? You're on the line.
Yes, I am on the line, Evangelist. You would not allow me to rest on my time of spiritual rest. You just throw me out there. But I just want to say, you're right. We do a lot of talking, and we don't do a lot of walking. But you have to go back, and I'm not making excuses for anyone, not even myself. We have to go back to the earlier church when we first started out, when we become saved. Our leaders didn't teach us how to do the walking. They taught us how to do the talking because they taught us the Bible, and most of us didn't even pick up the Bible to read the Bible. We actually had taken what the pastor said. We went home, and we started trying to act it out, and we've done it for 10 and 15 years. That's why now most of us are in our position. The Word of God is not manifesting in our lives because, A, either one, what they were taught in the church, they never went back to study to show themselves approved, meaning that someone can tell you something and it can sound so biblical, so right, to the point to that it is such a lie. I mean, it's just really such a lie. They can change a few words. They can change a couple of sentences or something like that. That's why we really, really need to do, as the Book of Timothy tells us, to study to show ourselves approved. We need to get down in the Word ourselves. So, therefore, when we start going through our trials and our tribulation, which is not to harm us but to actually grow us up, because most of us are still out there being immature, and by now we should really be teaching the Word of God. We should not be sitting on the seat of the pews in the church still being taught, and that's the biggest problem. New people, new disciples cannot even come into church and get a seat in the church to be taught because the old ones are still there being seat warmers. But you know what? I'm a firm believer that all the ones that are sitting on the seat and keeping it warm, those are the same seat they're going to be occupying in hell. It's going to be pretty warm.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, nobody's getting up praising God. God did not call us to be seat warmers.
She said they're going to be the same seats they occupy in hell. Lord, today.
Yeah, God didn't call us to be seat warmers. We did not. For a matter of fact, the seat itself should be cold because we were called to worship, and we should be up worshiping God. And if there's anybody know anything about worship, the moment you get into true worship with the Holy Spirit, at least for me, I can't ever stand on my feet. I may start out dancing and praising God and throwing my hands up, but, honey, when true worship kicks in, oh, I'm on the floor on my face. Okay, in the presence of God, crying out to God, just in total, I mean, just there, just in the presence of God. I don't know what's going on with Becky Sue or Deacon Son. I don't know what's going on with them folks because I cannot be caught up in God's in worship with God and still be able to look around. I don't have eyes in the back of my head, and I thank God that I do not.
Yeah, that's where I was at today. Like, there was a spirit of worship in there. But when you really worship, the Bible says you gotta worship the Lord, and those that worship the Lord must worship in the Spirit and in truth. And we gotta really, people have taught us about worship, and it has been so wrong. It has been so wrong. We're gonna talk about that in a second. We would need to talk about worship. We have area code 407 with their hand raised. Hello,
Praise.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, Evangelist Scott. It's so glad to be here tonight. Glory to God. This is Minister Howell, TLO.
Hey, Minister Howell.
Hi. I'm so glad to be here. You know, God is so, so good. You know, and just like you say, we should worship God in spirit and in truth. Glory to God. While you in true worship, no, you don't know what the next person doing next to you because you got your mind focused on the Lord. And it's time that we really, really be truly real with ourselves and be real with God because, you know, God knows it all. Glory to God. And when a purified daughter was talking about people change the word. Yeah, when people change God's word, we know what that is. We know that's the spirit of the devil because the devil is the author of lies. He can't tell the truth if he even tries. Glory to God. That's what happened in the garden when he approached Eve. You know, he changed the word of God, you know what I'm saying? So that's why the spirit of discernment comes in, plays a great important part. You know, we're living in a time now where the enemy is truly walking to and fro. Causing envy and strife and jealousy and discord. You know, it's time out for that stuff, and my heart is really grieved, you know, because truly, if anybody want to live right and do right, I want to live right and do right, you know, and it grieves my heart so bad when brothers and sisters at war with one another, and we know that's the enemy. That's the enemy. Glory to God. So we have to beware of the enemy. You know, be not deceived, you know, because we will know them by their fruit. If they have the fruit of the Spirit, then that's they are set aside for God. But when they come in with strife and enemy and jealousy, that is of the devil. Yes, we're supposed to pray for our enemies. Glory to God. If somebody knock on your door and ask you for a turkey, glory to God, if you got an extra turkey in your refrigerator, glory to God, you don't send that person away. You know, saying that you don't have anything because you have it in your refrigerator. So give it to them. Glory to God. That's how God wants us to do. We have to give it to them. We have to pray for our enemies and still love them. Glory to God. When we love, God will do the rest. Glory to God. We have to take our hands off a lot of situations. Glory to God. And let God have his way in our life. When we let go and let God, hallelujah, everything will be all right. And you know it's not easy. And you said, what would we do if somebody slap you on the cheek? Would you turn the other one? You can do it if you have the spirit. It takes the spirit of God for us to be strong like that to do it.
Minister Howell, when
I worked in the hospital, glory to God, when I worked in the hospital, I had this nurse, she snatched them out of my hand. And the other nurse said, you let her do it. I said, yes. You know, it doesn't matter because you know one thing? Like she did it to me, someone to do it to her. So I put it all in the master's hand. So that's what we have to do. We have to put it in the Lord's hand. He'd take the spirit for us to do that. Now, if you don't have the spirit in you and somebody slap you in your cheek, yeah, you're going to retaliate. Yes, you will, because you are in the flesh.
You know, I want to say something on what Minister Howell said. That is so true, Minister Howell. But, you know, people really need to know what the spirit of discernment is. The spirit of discernment is basically the ability to recognize what is genuine.
That's true.
From God. I mean,
what is
of God and not of God? The spirit of discernment is not a voice in your head, people of God, telling you, should I do this? Should I not do this? Should I say this? No, that's a spirit of confusion right there. You know, we need to, and then you cannot have the spirit of discernment if you are not saved.
The Holy Spirit leads
Holy
and guides
Spirit, exactly.
us.
Exactly.
The Holy Spirit leads and guides us.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit of discernment lets us know who we are dealing with. You know, that's why I ask God all the time. I say, God, let me see people's heart. You know, I want to see their heart. I want to know what I'm dealing with. And that's where our discernment comes in. You know, we don't ask the spirit of discernment, what should I do? No, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. That's what Jesus sent the comforter for, as a lead and a guide, a comforter. That's what we do. We ask the Holy Spirit, what would you have me to do? And he will lead you today. The spirit of discernment and spirit of the Holy Spirit is totally different. Glory to God. The spirit of the Holy Spirit will lead you.
You know, but the spirit of discernment has to be nurtured. That's a gift in the Bible that it begins to be developed more inside of us when we know more about the Bible and when we seek confirmation and evaluation of other people and when we maintain a spirit of openness and new sight and new discoveries. So basically, if we just, we all have these gifts inside of us. I mean, all this stuff was given to us the day that God created us. But it's just like when we're walking in darkness, these gifts are not going to be taking priority in our life. For instance, the spirit of discernment for a Christian is going to operate like the spirit of criticism for a non-believer or for a person who is not grounded and rooted in the Word of God. You're gonna go out there and think you're discerning, but when you open up your mouth, the difference between the two, the spirit of discernment is gonna allow us to open up our mouth and speak to people in love, and that's what Minister Howell posted in the chat room. Through love and kindness have I drawn these. We do everything in love, but if we're not operating in maturity, and we're operating contrary, and the spirit that's contrary to the spirit of discernment is the spirit of criticism. When we begin to speak, we're speaking such a harsh way. Instead of drawing that person to God, we will begin to speak negative things, and it will hurt that person and push that person further away.
And that's why it's important.
Hello?
It's important that our words be seasoned. We have to think before we speak, because a soul is very precious. Once you damage a soul, you have really damaged something very, very valuable. So that's why when we hear things, glory to God, we have to pray. God, we have to ask the Holy Spirit, what is going on here? You know, and the Holy Spirit let you know what's going on, and then you can come on that thing maturely wise, you know what I'm saying, in the spirit, because the spirit has opened, enlightened you to the thing that really has happened. Glory to God. But when we take off with it, don't know what the thing is all about, we take off with it, and then we make a whole mess out of it. You know what I'm saying? So, all we're saying tonight is that we have to beware of the enemy. That's what we have to do. And we have to let brotherly love continue, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one thing that hurts me badly, when brothers and sisters are at it like two unsaved people. We are in the body of Christ. And when we hurt, when I hurt, you should hurt. You know what I'm saying? That's how it's just supposed to be. When you hurt, I hurt, because we are in Christ's body. And it hurts us so bad. If I hurt you, I should go on my knees and say, God, please forgive me. You know what I'm saying? We have to ask God to forgive us and let brotherly love continue. God wants us to move towards perfection. Glory to God. His time out for us being in Pampers, we have to grow up.
Get out the playpen. Get out the playpen. Get out the playpen.
Get on out the playpen.
Take off the diapers. You know, Philippians 1, 9, and 10, I want to read that. It says, and this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless. Pure and blameless.
Yeah, that means
pure and blameless.
That means that we have repented, put it in the Lord's hand. Repent. And that's the main thing right there, is to repent. And then when we repent and have that thing under the blood of Jesus, yes, we can stand before him blameless, because he has forgiven us for our sin. Because, yeah, he know we are human. We know, he know that we are in the flesh, and he know that we are subject to fault. But he, you know, once we accept Christ in our life, it's time out for us continue to put him back on the cross. Glory to God. We got to take our salvation for real. Glory to God. And we have to move towards perfection and don't look back. We have to stay focused on the Lord. When we allow our eyes to go in every direction, glory to God, we are not going to stand before God blameless, because we're going to be in the flesh. The flesh has to die. We have to pray and fast. Glory to God. Fasting enable us to keep that flesh under suggestion, because there is no good thing in the flesh. Everything that you name about jealousy and anger, all of that is in the flesh. If you are in the flesh and somebody slap you, you're going to slap them back, I guarantee you. But if you let that flesh die and think about Jesus,
Glory to God. You can accept that thing because you know, you are knowing your spirit. They did not slap you. They slapped the God in you. And he said he will fight your battle.
So it sounds like then, you know, we're just still immature Christians.
Yeah, I think their body grew up really fast, but their spirit man never grew with their body because, of course, they were feeding their body the physical food, but they never fed their spirit man the spiritual food.
Well, I don't believe God has no ill-informed children. I really don't. I don't agree with God. God, everything he made was good. You know what I'm saying? And he said, you're going to be hot or cold. He don't want you lukewarm. He said, if you lukewarm, he will spew you out of his mouth. So that let me know right there, he does not have any ill-form children.
You know, and God is not going to force his children to develop a relationship with him either. I mean, he said in his word that my
That's right. He
said,
choose ye this day who you will serve.
Exactly.
He said, choose ye this day.
He placed it out there. He placed it out there with his word. He's placed it out there with his leaders. It is up to his people whether or not that, you know, they want to take heed to it and they want to come. You know, the old saying is that you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. But I tell you one thing, they also said that if you put salt in his mouth, he'll get thirsty enough and he'll start to drink. And I think that's what God does. Where people continue to go around the mountain, they get tired, and they realize that they're not climbing over the mountain or they are not activating the power that's inside of them to tell the mountain to be moved. Sooner or later, they'll get exhausted and they'll get tired, and they'll sit down and they'll realize that there's no water on the other side of that mountain. They're going to get thirsty enough, and if they get thirsty enough, they're going to get in the presence of God, and they're going to drink. They will begin to drink, and at that moment, I believe God is going to fill them, and they will not thirst again like Jesus told the woman at the well. But once again, God is not going to force them because God is a gentleman. Jesus was a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
So people just need to realize that, you know, hey, it's some work to be done on their end, too. It really is. God did not require work to be done on their end, then there wouldn't be a reason for the day of judgment. Everybody can just live the way they want to live, and all of us will still get an opportunity to go to heaven, and we know that is not true.
Well, I tell you, I have never found this in the Bible per se, but he said if you make one step, you'll make two. You know what I'm saying? So if you have a willing mind to do those things that's pleasing to God, God will give you the strength to do it. And, you know, if you have a mind to live right and do right, God will give you the strength to do it. Glory to God, but we're going to have to stay in his word, and we're going to have to do it God's way. If he say love your enemies, we have to love them. Glory to God, if he say love your brother and sister, we have to love them. And we can't let anything or anybody come in between that. The word of God say, who could separate us from the love of God? And we have to really keep our eyes open and know when the enemy comes in and try to tear down and kill and destroy. We have to know that. We have to know the fruits that's manifesting itself. When we know those fruits, then we know how to deal with what we're dealing with.
But a lot of times
I have gotten really, really angry with the devil.
Oh, yeah. You know, Minister Howell, you right. There is not a scripture that said if you make one step, God will make two. But there is a scripture that's similar to that verbiage, and it's found in 1 Peter 2:21. And it says that if you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow his self. And, you know, if we begin to make one step for the step that Christ made, and then you're right, I agree with you, I concur. I believe God will, you know, enable us and grace us to be able to go the remains of the way.
Amen. But I want to tell you, Purified Daughter, I got up early this morning. I really did, and I had you on my mind. I even tried to send you email. Glory to God. And somehow or another, I don't know if you got it, but it seemed like to me it did not go through. You know, I am serious. I'm telling you, I am serious about my salvation. I am not here to play games. You know what I'm saying? Because I know one day I am going to have to face before the great judge. Hallelujah. Because he is the judge. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not out here to play games. And when I get hurt, it hurts me when we come against one another. You know what I'm saying? Being brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what I'm saying? So I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that God loves you. I love you with a godly love. And I'm here to tell you that I have made up my mind, hallelujah, to press towards the mark of the high call of God, hallelujah, because I want all that God has for me, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I refuse to let anything or anybody separate me from the love of God, because, see, God knows my heart. He know my motives. He know everything about me. So people that don't know me need to pray and ask God just like I do. God, let me see their heart, you know, because we don't know each other. I never met you before, you know what I'm saying, but I met you, you know, on Blog Talk and everything. I heard your voice, and I really, really like what I heard, because I feel like you're a young woman, glory to God, that love the Lord with all your heart. So don't let nothing separate you from the love of God. Don't let the enemy come in and just plant, you know, because he's going to plant his seeds, glory to God. But we're going to have on that armor, just like you say, you got to wake up that armor on. Glory to God. Don't let the enemy catch you with your guards down. You have to have your guards up at all times, because if you don't, somebody going to get hurt in the end. You know one thing, it's time out for God, people being hurt. We got a work to do out there. You hear what I'm saying? We got a great work to do, and the people out there we're trying to draw to the Lord, they won't come because they see so much envy and strife going on in the body of Christ. And it's time out for that. Glory to God, it's time out for that. So I tell you today, we need to go on and stay in this race, glory to God, and let bygones be bygones, glory to God, and people are in the race, baton. Take the baton and keep on running to Jesus. We got to keep on running a purified daughter. Glory to God, glory to God. And I tell you, I love the Lord and I love you.
Mr. Howe, I love you so very much too. And I didn't get your email. I didn't. So if you had sent it to me, you know I would have responded back to you. But I just want to let you know that I don't have any issue, as you know, the young folks say, beef. I don't have any of that stuff. I think that people need to really realize where they are in God. For me, it may be a different walk than it is for someone else. My Bible tells me to it's the devil and he'll flee. So if I know that I'm beginning to walk with some individuals and they're causing more harm to me than good, you know, my thing is that I have to continue to do what God has told me to do. I don't like division. I will not cause division. I'm a very outspoken and bold person. If anyone know me, Evangelist Scott can confess to that. But, you know, when I say something, I pretty much say it and I let it be. And I move on. I mean, I move on. I moved on too.
I got free this morning from the situation that I called you.
That's how it is with me. I was free. I kept moving. I kept going. Not to say that because I turned the invitation down at that moment to be on your show, that it's going to be like that forever. You know, I just feel that, you know, there's a time that God does everything. There's a timing for everything. Mm-hmm. And we just need to realize that we cannot learn God's will until we completely dedicate ourselves to God. And like you say, I am a young woman, and some things that, you know, I don't understand why people do the things that they do. I don't even try to figure it out. I still, you know, get in the presence of God and say, Lord, search my heart. Help me to see, you know, things clearly, and, you know, search my body and my soul and my spirit. You know, give me the strength to be able to go on, to be able to do what I need to do. You know, my only prayer is Romans 12:1-2. You know, I want to present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God.
Amen.
His service. And I can't do that walking with folks that are causing division. And I'm not saying that was you, but sometimes we can walk with people that is causing problems. And if I see that going on around anyone, I'm not going to be a partaker of that. I'm just not. And if I know that someone got all in trouble with me, I'm not going to keep on walking with that person like it's okay. I'm not. Because that's almost like, you know, allowing the enemy to rub, you know, rub up against you. I'm not sandpaper. I don't confess to be sandpaper. You know, mm-hmm. I'm like cushion. You know, you rub up against me too hard with your sandpaper, it may just tear up my cushion, my Kleenex. So I have to keep moving, and I have to be grounded and rooted where God has told me to be. And a lot of people don't understand, you know, Cassandra. I'm just simply Cassandra. At the end of the day, I'm just Cassandra. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what kind of titles they put out there, it doesn't bother me.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit himself giving me purified, because that's what my middle name meant, innocent and purified. And I hated my middle name. And I mm-hmm. told God I was not going to take a title. You know, all these folk have all these different titles, because they have mm-hmm. just trampled them titles through the blood, honey. They have just ruined those titles. They have just treated them like dirty rags. And I'm like, God, mm-hmm. you said that I was a peculiar nation. I was peculiar. You said that you had separated me. Give me something that distinguished me and mm-hmm. what you're doing inside of me from anything and everybody else. And I hated my middle name. The Holy Spirit woke me up before daybreak one morning and told me to go to the computer and look up my name. And I'm like, I already looked it up. Here I am arguing with God. I looked up the name. It doesn't mean anything. You can't even find it on the internet. He said, look it up again. I looked it up. And in Latin, it came up, innocent and purified. He said, we had distinguished you before the foundation of the earth. You would take the title purified, and mm-hmm. you are our daughter. You will go by purified daughter. So when I see something that cannot purify, cannot go with, then I can't be a part of it. Because you, I remember when you told me, your name speaks for itself. I can't be a part of fornication, because purified, that don't go with purified. I can't mm-hmm. be a part of people lying and causing divisions and causing mm-hmm. problems and mm-hmm. all that stuff, because purified do not go with that. I have mm-hmm. to continue to walk this walk, Minister Howell, even if I have mm-hmm. to walk it alone, because I believe that as I continue to be faithful and obedient to God, I may not be operating fully 100% as the name purified now, but I believe that according to my faithfulness, God is going to birth purification up out of me, and mm-hmm. he's going to allow me to be able to teach that and spread that to other people in the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I love you. I mean, anything that I can do to be of assistance to you and your ministry, you have my number. You can call me day or night, anytime.
Amen.
You
always well, I appreciate you. I appreciate
you. You're like a brother mentor to me, so I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, too. You know, I just wanted to, get it. Anything that we have to get right, we have to surely get it right. He said, let not your wrath go. Make sure we know about the sun go down. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That's how it goes. And we have to be sure that we operate the way God wants us to operate in. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, I don't take my salvation lightly. And I don't want anybody else to take it lightly, you know, because I get real fired up when I feel like somebody's playing with my salvation. You know, because I had to go through a whole lot to get where I am today, and I thank
and
God.
You know, I don't want to go back through that, Minister Howell. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back through. I don't want to go back through those times.
I don't
no
either.
More.
So that I'm determined not to go back through that. So I just thank God. I just thank God for the broadcast on the 90 Evangelist Scott. This was very good. You know, God has a way of doing things. You know, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, just like we previously said. You know, he knows just how to do things, and we truly thank God, because I'm a woman like this. I'm not wrapped up in the titles either, you know, because I know who I am in Christ Jesus, and it doesn't matter what you call me, Bunny, Miss Howell, or Howell, or girl, you know what I'm saying? You know, I am who I am because the Lord called me who I am. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate it. It's a privilege and an honor. The reason I put that on Facebook, Minister Bunny Howell, because there's so many people come on your Facebook and they disrespect, see all kinds of things. I said, well, I'm going to put this on here so they can respect me, because I'm not going to have anybody coming and talking to me any kind of way and saying any kind of way, because it grieves my spirit. You know why it grieves my spirit? Because the Holy One live on the inside of me, and it grieves him. Glory to God.
Yes,
so we have
yes,
to love
does.
The Lord just that much, where things that's not right, it grieves us. And truly, when somebody is hurting us or anything, no, we have to cut the ties with them. But yet and still, we praying in the background, Lord, help them. Just continue to pray for them. And he said, love and kindness have I drawn on men. And he said, love covers a multitude of faults. So we have to continue to pray with them. Just like you said in the chat room, we do not have to walk with them. No, we don't. If they are wrong, cut the ties and continue to pray and let God fix it.
But you don't know how. What I don't understand. Me too. I don't understand is that people think just because we cut the ties with them today that that's permanently. That's not permanent when we're brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's
it just
right.
means that we're on different levels. You know, someone may be 6 years old and someone may be 2 years old. I've never seen a whole lot of 6 months children play around with 7 year olds. Seven-year-olds want to be 7 year olds. Six months, they want to put them in the baby room with the 6 month old kids. So they got to protect those kids. They got to watch those kids a little bit more. They need a little bit more nurturing. You know, they can't go to the bathroom by themselves. You know, you have to do everything for them. So just because, you know, we, and then I'm speaking for myself, just because I cut ties with someone, you know, today doesn't necessarily mean a year from now that the Lord is going to allow our path to come cross again. It may be that I'm not mature enough to walk with that person right now, or God got to do some stuff inside of me, you know, mm-hmm. continue to take me through the spiritual operating room to cut some things off. For me, I'll be the first to let people know. I don't mm-hmm. know what God is going through me. I don't even know what the Holy Spirit is going to do through me. I just mm-hmm. like to talk. I just got a love for people, and I probably run my mouth a little too much. And in the midst of all that, the Holy Spirit just does. I'm just silly enough and crazy enough to do whatever the Holy Spirit tells me to do. You know,
Amen,
I just
too.
Don't have any fear when it comes to the Holy Spirit. You know, it's just I'm basically one of those child at heart, but grown people. If mm-hmm. I had my way, I would be like, God, never let me grow up. Let me stay a child. I want to go to Disney World. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, I love Winnie the Pooh. I would love to decorate my room like Winnie the Pooh, but I'm afraid if someone come over, they'll have something to say. You know, I'm just a child. I just want to enjoy life and do all that God wants me to do and just mm-hmm. be a faithful leader, you know, on this walk.
And that's what
and
God
I need
wanted
other
to
leaders
do.
To learn, you know, because I don't know everything. I don't want to know everything.
And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have happy life. He said, don't worry. And, you know, the song came out, don't worry, be happy. God wants us mm-hmm. to be happy, you know, and that's the main thing. And we can be happy in Christ Jesus as long as we do things his way. And don't be so easily offended. We have to let offended, we have to pray. And, you know, just like I say, when we step back, and cut the ties and pray. No, it doesn't mean that we're not going to come back together again because, see, while we are praying, God is mending the broken pieces. You hear what I'm saying? He's mending the broken pieces. And when we come together again, you know, just like they say, when we go to heaven, there's no more byes and no more death. And it'd be no more goodbyes. You know what I'm saying? No more change being broken. Glory to God, because we are together forever. And that's what—that's the place that God wants us to be, where the ties will never, ever be broken. But as long as we're in this flesh, just like I say, things will happen. We got to realize that things are going to happen, and we're going to have to know how to get on our knees and put it at the altar and say, God, help me. And he will help us all. You hear me? He will help us. Ow!
Yes, ma'am. You know, I'm so glad that we're all connected to the body. People need to realize that the body is really sick, Minister Howe. It really is. It's sick simply to the fact that, like you say, God did not make it basically spiritual retard. There's no such thing as spiritual retard. But if we do not come together on one accord, we're going to cause ourselves to begin to operate like spiritual retards. I mean, our body is fully complete when we all get in our rightful positions,
please.
Our rightful mm-hmm. element, so we can begin to operate, you know, and function in our right standing in the earth. Once we all, and I'm talking about all the Baptists coming together, all the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Holiness, the AMEs, the Jehovah Witnesses, the Charismatics, and all the others that I didn't name, I'm talking about everyone coming on one accord, because there is enough room for all of us to be connected to the body. And it doesn't make any sense, and that pains me so much. We don't have to keep on operating. You never hear me say, oh, I'm a Methodist. No, I'm not a Methodist. I'm a disciple. I came to duplicate Christ that's in me inside of somebody else. I don't hate a religion. I don't. I'm not even non-denomination. I'm not even interdenomination for international.
Amen.
I'm global denomination.
Mm-hmm.
I'm everywhere. Okay?
Amen.
Because that's what his word told us to go everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It told us to go out into Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost end parts of the world. So we cannot say that we're Pentecostal and the word of God tells us to go everywhere, because there are some places in the world that don't receive Pentecostal folks.
Mm.
So you cannot continue to claim that religion.
Mm.
You
hello,
got to be
hello.
Like Apostle Paul was. You got to transform to be whatever God tells you to transform in the midst of whatever he tells you to transform into in order to win that person over to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's it. That's the bottom line right there. And I think Evangelist Scott trying to get our attention.
Go on, Evangelist.
Wait a minute, y'all. Just see, I'll put it in the chat room. Hello, I'm raising my hand. Hello. All righty then. And I wanted to say something because I know I'm in a minute. I'm just going to let y'all have the rest of the show. But my husband said, what about Jehovah's Witnesses? But that's not what I wanted to say. I want y'all to answer that too. But listen, Purified Daughter, you said we got to be in our rightful place. And when you said that, my heart jumped like, oh my gosh, I got to say this. When we tell people to be in their rightful place, a lot of people think, just like y'all just got finished talking about titles, little Minister Howell said you could call her Bonnie, you could call her Minister Bonnie, you could call her, you know, whatever. But when you say rightful place, people automatically turn to a title. No, you need to be in your rightful place in the Lord, wherever you're supposed to be at in the Lord, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We are, when we first get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, we are babes in Christ. But come on, your rightful place is not to be a baby the whole walk with Christ.
Amen.
You're not supposed to stay a baby your whole walk with Christ. Come on now. Somebody's cuckoo. Somebody's crazy somewhere. If you think you're supposed to stay a baby your whole life, something is wrong.
Something is wrong.
You done went from diapers to Depends, but it's still a diaper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you still pooping on yourself. You still, come on now.
Ooh-wee.
I'm not making fun of people that have to wear Depends, like stuff like that, but I'm trying to make an analogy here that people, you know, we take too much stock in titles. We take too much stock in denominations. We take too much stock in the things that don't even matter to God. He didn't ask you to be a denomination. He asked you to be a disciple. He
mm-hmm.
did not ask us to go out here and say, okay, bishop this and apostle this and this. I mean, chief apostle that, evangelist this, little evangelist, I think I'm evangelist today, evangelist elect or somebody. You know, people come up with all kind of stuff. And you're looking at all of this other stuff, but what about the stuff that really matters? What about the stuff that really matters? And that's the heart. The heart is desperately wicked above everything. The heart is sick, the Bible says, and desperately wicked above everything. Who can know it? I mean, the little things I listened very intently to, you know, Minister Howell, how you were talking to Purified Daughter, how y'all were talking, and how, you know, y'all was just clearing the air. But we need to do this throughout the body of Christ. You got people walking around doing things, and I was getting ready to say something, and I'm not going to say that, what I wanted to say, because that was my flesh getting ready to say that. But you got people within the body of Christ in the same denomination that can't get along. You got people in denominations, I mean, in the same, forget the same denomination, you in the same building. And when you walk in the building, you can't even speak to each other.
Mm.
Like, you will pass over somebody and go speak to somebody else instead of speaking to that person. I'm like, Lord, what is this?
Mm.
And I ain't going to lie, I caught myself doing that. And I had to go to a person and let them know, look, I'm sorry, if I offended you, you know, I really don't have no beef with you, and I hope you don't have any beef with me, you know. And when I started going, you know, I started speaking to this individual, and this individual, you know, they still won't speak to me, but guess what? My conscience is clear.
Your conscience is clear.
My conscience is clear, and I got to do what thus saith the Lord. You don't got to do what the Lord says if you don't want to. That's your business. But I got to answer to a true and living God. So it doesn't matter what denomination you are. You know, some people take so much pride in saying they're this particular denomination or that particular denomination. And guess what? When it's time to go to heaven, I do not believe, because I have not seen it in the Bible. I have not seen that it's going to be a section for Jehovah's Witnesses. I didn't see a section for Catholics. I didn't see a section for apostolic and Pentecostal. I didn't see anywhere in the Bible where it said heaven will be sectioned off. I didn't see that.
You know what I saw in the Bible? It said one Lord, one faith, and one baptism.
That's right.
That's
and
what
then.
It says.
And my husband my husband says that a lot. He says, because, you know, people, you got people getting baptized. You getting baptized in Jesus' name. You getting baptized in somebody else's name. You ain't getting baptized in nobody's name. Oh, I'm going to get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If you're not baptized in Jesus' name, you're not saved. You got people fighting over stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus said, Jesus said out of his mouth, he said, go therefore and make disciples. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to baptize in Jesus' name, that's go ahead. But don't tell somebody they going to hell because they not baptized in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We get off on this petty stuff, and it's time to stop getting off on this petty stuff. It's time to go ahead and look at what the Word of God is saying and stop. Stop falling for this denominational okey-doke. Oh, well, if you don't speak in tongues, you're going to hell. The Bible didn't say if you don't speak in tongues, you're going to hell.
Mm.
That's not what the Bible says. And speaking in tongues is not a prerequisite of getting saved anyway.
Sure.
Your salvation comes in believing in Jesus Christ, that he was born and he died and he rose again for your sins. That's what salvation is about, believing in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. It says we're saved by grace through faith. That's what we're saved by grace through faith. It didn't say we saved by grace by speaking in tongues. That's not what the Word of God says. But see, people want to take the Word of God and they want to twist it around and make it to say what they want to say so it can fit their denomination. Now you in this clique and they in that clique, and everybody thinks they're going to click their heel three times and go to heaven. Come on now. Come on now. Now,
God,
now.
You preaching tonight.
Now. Y'all done started something right there.
That's the truth. I'm telling you. That's the truth. And when you talked about the body, I just want to add this right here. The book of Ephesians, and I think it's in the 5th chapter, the 31st verse. I'm more than sure the 30th verse. It said that, for we are members of his body.
His body
and his flesh and of his bones.
Mm-hmm.
His body, his flesh, and his bones. So if we're out there connected to another body operating in our flesh, and we just don't fit because the bones don't connect together, then we need to get ourselves together. And we'll know when the bones are not connecting together because we'll be out there operating in other gifts that is not the Holy Spirit gifts. We don't want to share. We'll be out there judging people, causing division in the body of Christ. We won't have no love. See, when we operate in God's body, with Jesus' body, his flesh and his bones, then we become everything that he is.
Mm-hmm.
We really do. I don't understand. Somebody has to help me to understand. And I'm glad that you know, God really hasn't given any of us the full and complete understanding of everything.
Amen.
I'm just so glad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that there's still room for growth inside of me. I would pray and hope that everyone still have room for growth inside of them.
I'm laughing at people trying to be dictators, like Hitler. Look, did you see what my husband wrote in the chat room?
What did he say?
He said, if you believe in the Father and the Son, but reduce the Holy Spirit to being a mere sidekick like Tonto was to the Lone Ranger. He said, you still don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Oh, my.
The Holy Spirit ain't going to be nobody's sidekick. You know?
People try to make our walk so hard. It is not hard. I've never seen a baby that when they first start walking, it was so hard for them so that the first time they got up to start walking, they fell down and they sat down. Every baby that I ever seen, when they got up the first time to start walking, it was such excitement for them and a new journey for them. They kept working at it until they became perfected at it.
Mm-hmm.
I never seen a baby that just stopped.
He said,
they kept getting up. They may kept falling down, but that baby kept getting up. Kept leaping up.
That's how they learn to walk.
That's how our spiritual journey should be.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he tells us to move towards perfection. You don't quit. You have to keep on pressing your way. We can't afford to quit, you know, because we come across a little bump in the road. We have to keep on pressing.
Well, so, y'all, I got to tell y'all something. Y'all know what time it is?
Ooh.
Y'all know what time it is? It's time to grow up.
Yes. And go about our Father's business.
I just felt like saying that.
And go about our Father's business. What time it is?
Stop. You know what? I tell my husband all the time, and I'm gonna stop saying that. I think tonight, maybe today, will be the last time I say it. I'm gonna try not to say it anymore. I tell my husband all the time, I don't want to be no AME. I don't like you AMEs, because my husband was an AME. Till he met me, he wasn't an AME anymore. But he left the AME church, and he joined the church I was in because the Lord had to show him some things that he didn't know, that he wasn't taught actually in the AME church. But I always tell him, I don't want to be an AME. I don't ever want to be an AME because AMEs do this and AMEs do that. He said, well, if you look at it, every denomination got something wrong with them that they doing. And I'm here to say tonight that every denomination needs to just stop being so proud and boastful about whatever denomination they are, because whoever you are, whatever denomination you call yourself, whatever denomination you, you know, choose to say you a part of, Jesus never said he was a denomination.
Sure,
Jesus said he's the Word.
Like that.
He's the Word. Jesus said he is the Word. The only thing Jesus said is Jesus says for us to abide in the vine. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He said, I'm the vine and my Father is the husbandman. He said, abide in me and I in you. Because the branches can't do anything except they abide in the vine. So if you want a denomination, your denomination should be Jesus. That's what I mean. But Jesus he encompasses, like Purified Daughter said, he encompasses everything. Everywhere Jesus went, he was the Word. He took the Word with him. He didn't go, you do not see that Jesus went anywhere and started building churches and said, okay, now y'all, I want y'all to believe this over here. Okay? Then he go into another city and say, I want y'all to believe this over here. Everywhere Jesus went, he preached the same thing. His word did not change. Everywhere Jesus went, he did the same thing. He laid hands on the sick. He told demons to come out of people. He raised the dead. He spoke the word. That's what Jesus did every single place he went. He didn't change the word when he went somewhere else. He didn't change this. He didn't do that. Jesus wasn't deceptive. Jesus wasn't trying to make a name for himself. A name was made for Jesus because everywhere he went, signs and wonders followed him. Everybody knew he was a child of God. The only thing that is following a lot of folks is what you got, the name of your denomination. That's what you got. Where's the signs? Where's the wonders? Where's the dead folks being raised from the dead before Jesus get back here? Where's the people calling out demons? Where are they casting out? Where's all that going on? No, it's not happening because people are so busy trying to be a denomination. So many people trying to, you know, make a name for you. If I'm in this denomination, I'm cool because I'm in this denomination. You know what? Just stop it. We even turn non-denomination into a denomination. You can't go to... I was like, wait a minute, non-denomination is a denomination now. I didn't see that, baby. See how we on one accord? Yeah, so non-denomination has become a denomination. Okay, from now on, I wonder if anybody asks me, I please put this in my spirit so deep that I know I can say this every time somebody asks me, what denomination are you? I'm not a denomination. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. What about you?
You know, Minister, I've never seen anywhere. Minister, how y'all help me? Y'all a little bit more grounded in the Word. Help me understand when the Bible said that the Father is the vine and we're the branches. Is there anywhere in the Bible where God recorded how many branches were connected to the vine?
I ain't never seen it.
Why do churches have membership? Because that's basically all what it is. What
because it's something somebody made up.
I don't understand all that crap. People ask me, Purify, why you don't Why you don't believe in membership? Well, when somebody showed it to me in the Bible, I will believe in membership. Until then, I don't believe. Now, I know what Ephesians 4 and 11 and 12 says, but I never read anywhere in the Bible where it talks about membership. And I'm trying to stray away from all those tradition things. But, you know,
we're supposed to be members one of another.
Yeah, you get caught up in so much crap. Because the Bible said, bear you under the burden. Well, this is how the Jehovah's Witness operate. You're a Jehovah's Witness, and then you're supposed to be bearing you one of the burdens. No, they ain't going to pray with you, because Jehovah's Witness don't believe in such a hand with you and praying with you. But at the same token, they want to come inside of your house and bring all that foolishness. And if you are Baptist and a person is a Methodist, then you know what? The Baptist cannot bear burdens with the person that's a Methodist, because they're not on the same accord. You need to go to the people of your house, and then we'll go to the people of our house. You know, y'all, that's division. That's not of God.
But you know what's funny?
That's not of God.
You know what's funny? Some people will ridicule you. They will blackball your name if you don't become a member of the church. But you can become a member of that church and let your lights get ready to get cut off. I ain't seen nobody hand me a dime yet, okay, when I said my light bill is due and I need some money. But I've been a member of your church for 20 years. Giving you my tithes, okay, you riding around in a Bentley, you got a mansion, and here my electric bill, I can't even pay my electric bill. But when I ask you, can I have some money for my electric bill, I've been a faithful member, quote unquote, I've been a faithful member of your church for all these years, but you don't even turn around and help me. Okay, people are getting members because some people are getting members in their church because that's what they know to do. That's how they were raised, and that's what they know to do. That's what their church doctrine says. That's what their church, what is that 501c3 or corporation paper says? You know, you got to have members, and they got to do this, and they got to do that. You know, but Jesus never said that. He said we're supposed to be members one of another. We're supposed to, like that scripture you read, we got to be fitly joined together. We're supposed to take the word of God and teach and preach the word of God, and we're supposed to come together in the unity of the faith. How can we come together? How we think we're going to make it in heaven and we can't even get along here? If nothing unrighteous is going to heaven and we still sitting here having denominational debates, how do we think we're going to get to heaven and we can't even get it together down here?
And you know the saddest part about it, people don't know who they are. And you know, just like we foresaid that we are in the body of Christ. And the early church, what they did, they took care of one another. When there was a need,
they sure did.
The deacon's job was. They went around and they saw that the need was met. But just like you said today, they are sending you to the welfare office, and we're supposed to be in the kingdom. Why we have to go to the welfare office?
Wait a minute, and then talk about you because you on welfare. And then talk about you because you on welfare.
I'm
going to
speak this from the word. I'm going to give y'all Luke 14 when the minister I'll get finished.
I'm going to tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something.
You know, it's sad because a lady, they tell me that a lady shot herself and her kids.
Yes, she
at
did.
At the food stamp office. That's sad.
Yes,
you know,
why?
That
really?
Is sad. And that
yes,
was
she
in
did.
When some of the saints should have been there with a sack of groceries and some money to pay some pay the bill.
But they'll tell you they can't do that. You know, but
and
they
can't go to the church no more and get a blessing because they taking money from the world, and you got to go through all this documentation of the world, and people don't qualify. Well, what happened to the tithes and the offering? The book of Deuteronomy says you're supposed to be sowing in your own land for the singles, the orphanage, and the widows. Why are we as the church, the leaders, are not taking care of these people? You know why we can't take care of them? Because we're too busy riding around in Bentleys and Escalades, Creflo Dollar having $8,000 toilet. How much mess can go down your toilet?
Well, that's what you call
$8,000.
Shut up, girl.
Ooh wee.
Come on now. How many airplanes could you ride in at one time?
And how many?
Let me tell you something. I'm not talking about Bishop Ed alone. And I pray to God that during this time right now, that God is really dealing with his heart, and that he's truly repenting. But Bishop Ed alone lifestyle should be an example for a whole lot of them greed leaders out there. God is not done yet. That was just one of the many that he's going to bring to open shame.
Okay, yes. Y'all, I got my hand raised. We have another call on the line. We have a call on the line from area code 786. and we'd like to invite them in for a moment. Hello, caller 786. You're on Out of a Pure Heart Ministries with Evangelist Teresa Scott, Purified Daughter, and Minister Bonnie Howell.
Amen. God bless you, mighty woman of God. This is Prophet Z.
Hi, Prophet Z.
Prophet Z. I'm good, man. I'm happy that you guys are really talking and explaining things and discussing these things because they have to be discussed. We got to really, you know, like I like to say what me and Minister Howell were talking about yesterday, it's time to really keep it 100 or 300 or 500. I mean, it's time to really tell it like it is. You know, we say this kind of stuff. I'm a real man. I'm a real woman. Well, then get real then.
Become
clean. Be honest. Let's talk about this stuff for real.
Amen. Get real or get ghost. Get real or get ghost. How about that?
Come on now.
Yeah, my husband said, and those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might need.
Amen.
44 and 45. Well, I knew the man of God was going to have a scripture for us.
All right now.
Yeah.
He was going to have a word. And, you know, Lord, when he get on the phone, maybe we can do this on Monday. Everybody going to get on the phone. This
I told
is
him
good.
That we saved some time for him tonight. I told him he won't come. I said, I saved some time for you. I didn't talk at all, though.
What, you want to get on the phone? Cause see,
he
I
was
fine.
You didn't talk at all, though.
No, ma'am, not yet, Minister Howell. I ain't talking all of it yet. I'm still trying to get that scripture out there in the book of Luke. I'm trying to get that scripture out there, Luke 14. I'm gonna get it in before tonight, hopefully. But tell the Pastor, I ain't talked it all up tonight.
Yeah, I'm trying to get one in too.
Prophet Z. Prophet Z.
You go first. You go first.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Prophet Z, you might as well go on and say what you gotta say while you got the chance, because I don't know about these two.
And you just having a good time with the Lord. But I tell you what, you know, people need to really come to the understanding that what you women of God are saying tonight is the truth. God, you know, Jesus said a house divided against itself can't stand.
That's it.
That's it.
We're not staying together, divided. How can two walk together unless they agree?
Go ahead.
Oh, mama.
That's
the word. And if we're too busy separating ourselves among ourselves and dividing ourselves by ourselves, who is getting saved, really? I mean, who is coming to the knowledge of who they are in Christ and who Christ is and what Christ came to do and what we need to be doing? And out of all of this confusion and chaos, and the Bible says God is not the author of confusion, but out of all of this division and separation and confusion and chaos, how are the people learning what they need to learn? What did Jesus say to Peter? Peter, do you love me? And what did Peter say? Yeah. And what did he say?
Feed
my
sheep.
Not divide my thing. I heard the Holy Spirit speak when I came to the Lord.
Feed him.
First word, I knew it was God. You are so right, Papa Z.
Feed my sheep and feed my lambs. He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. But let me tell you something. The place where I was at today, we had a women's symposium, and I don't even know what a symposium is, but I know it was a bunch of women together. And had a good time in the Lord. I know that's bad, but I just went because I just call them women's conference. I don't know what a symposium is, but we were there today, and I tell you, my soul got really blessed, but someone said to me, because I have a habit of when I go somewhere and preach or, you know, have to give a word, I usually do the call of repentance before I start preaching. And that's just something that the Lord gave me, and I really have this thing when people get up and start preaching, you know, when you ain't even do the call of salvation. But a lot of people... Okay, you wait till the end of the service to do the call of salvation. That's how you roll, okay, whatever. So I did the call of salvation today, but I didn't ask the people, did they have a church to go to or did they have a church to join, because I thought they belonged to I really thought they was already members of the church of the person that was having this women's conference, come to find out they were.
Right.
This was after the service. So someone told me, they said, well, you know, what you did was good, but, okay, you know when somebody put a but on it, they're going, what you did was good, but you should have asked them, did they have a home church? And if they don't, if you should have asked them, do they have a church to join? And if they don't have a church to join, then they need to find one.
No, you should have asked them what the Holy Spirit told you to ask them. There you go.
I just looked at her.
They are a member of a church, okay? And they accepted Jesus Christ. They became a part of his body. That is the church.
I mean, I know they need to go. Yeah, they need to go somewhere and get taught the word, because these people actually just, they never been to church, so they haven't been taught the word. You know what I'm saying, but they were like, you should have asked them that they have a church to join, because what you did was okay, but it wasn't complete. And I was like, you know, okay. And this person, she's older, and, you know, I didn't disrespect her or anything like that. I said, okay, right. You know, and left it like that. And then now I'm listening to this conversation. I'm like, well, I'm not going to tell somebody to go and join a church, number one. That's something, that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. But you got to go somewhere.
Right.
You got to see, you got to know those that labor among you, first of all. You know,
that's right.
You're not going to just go plop yourself up in any church. And I'm not Google search. I don't know where all the churches are in this area, who teaches this and who teaches that. I don't know that. My job is to introduce you to Jesus Christ so you can get saved.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the next 5 minutes, you could lose your very life. You know, even if I tell you to go to a church to join, you might not live long enough to get there.
That's right.
Can I say something, ladies? You know Jesus. Go ahead.
What we need to be asking people is, do they have a Bible? That's the first thing. Do you have a Bible? If you don't know the Lord and you just accepting him into your life, you're giving that call to salvation, do you have a Bible? Because the Bible is like your medicine. It's like your food that you need. When Jesus said, you know, to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And when he said every word, you know, we need every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, when he was talking to Satan, when he was in the wilderness, you need the Bible. You need the word. And yes, faith does come by hearing. Hearing does come by hearing the word of God. But the first thing you need is the Bible. The second thing you need to know is you need to start praying and talking to God. You need to start getting a word from God. It's not a bad thing to go to a church, but I'm not going to send you nowhere. And like the woman of God said, I don't know where you're going. I don't know what that church is like. I don't know what kind of people are in there and what they're teaching and what they're not teaching. I want to send you to the one who does know, though, Jesus Christ. Go to him.
Exactly.
Pray to him.
Amen.
Ask him. Get that Bible. You know, when he directs you to a church, or you get that feeling, that unction from the Holy Ghost, and he says, okay, go into a church. And he takes you to a place, and he gives you that discernment of whether you should or should not be there, because I don't know where you need to be. Only Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Ghost do. Let them lead.
Mm-hmm.
Let us start recruiting people, because that's all we do mostly. We recruit.
Mm-hmm. You know, get the numbers.
And our recruiters are not concerned about the salvation of the people being recruited. Their only job is to recruit. Come on. After you recruit them to this place, what happens to them? You're responsible for where you do sending people and for what you're telling them.
Yeah. Amen.
That's why I know street evangelist Robert Jones, okay, he goes out on the street and his team goes out there and they minister on the street and they introduce the people to Jesus Christ, and they offer salvation to them through Jesus Christ. They don't tell people what church to go to.
That's right.
Okay? They tell them about Jesus Christ. I don't know if they ask them if they have a Bible or not, because I haven't seen the whole thing of what they do, but I know they're out there on the megaphones, and they're out there preaching Jesus Christ. I do know that. They're preaching Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But I like what you said, Prophetess V., because maybe we need to go outside. And I heard Prophetess Daughter say this, Purified Daughter say this the other day. She said, if I have to just stand outside with a T-shirt on or stand outside holding a sign saying, what did you say, Purified Daughter?
Lord,
saying Jesus is
Jesus
Lord.
Is
I mean,
Lord.
We looking for pulpits. We looking for accolades from men and women. We're looking for all of this stuff to be on TV, to be on the radio. I mean, God gives us the TV and the radio so we can get the word of God out there. I got that. I understand that. Else I wouldn't be able to be on the radio, too. But is it about you being on the radio? Like, what is your motive? Is it about you being on the radio because you want an accolade? Or is it about people getting saved and people coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and teaching people the word of God? Just like Purified Daughter said earlier, she said, one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. God is the one that gives the increase. He's the one. That ain't even about you. It's not about Teresa. It's not about Evangelist Teresa. It's not about Elder Teresa. It's about the word of God. Is somebody getting changed because of the word of God? Is somebody getting saved because of the word of God? Is somebody's life being, is their mind being renewed because of the word of God? If you're worrying about how many people that log in every single time that you get on Blog Talk Radio, then there's a problem. That means your motives ain't right. You know, when I first started doing this, and I ain't gonna lie, when I first started doing this, I used to go back and see how many people was on this day and how many. And you know what? Most of the time now, I don't even go back. I don't even go back and see who was on, or you know, how many people was logged in, because that's a spirit of pride. That's a spirit of pride that will cause you to lose focus on what you're supposed to be doing. And that's what's happening a lot right now in Blog Talk Radio land. And I'm going to say this out loud and shame the devil. Folk looking to see what's going on your page, you know, and they want to steal your ideas, and they want to steal what you're saying and go put it on their page, and then want to tear you down while they on your page. You know what I'm saying? They on their page tearing you down. But guess what? It's millions of some stations on Blog Talk Radio. You ain't got to tear me down, and I don't got to tear you down. Honey, go over there and do you. Pure, it's room enough for Purified Daughter to get her own show, my husband to get his own show, Providence V to get her own show, TLO, and anybody else that want a show. It's enough. It's enough out here. Our job is not to compete with one another, and that's why so much hell in the body, and that's why we can't come together in unity, because there's so much competition. We walking around in pride, and nobody's addressing it. We need to get out of pride. We need to get out of self, because that's why Lucifer got kicked out of heaven, because of pride. See, folks think that, you think because you run around the church and fall over the floor, hit the Messiah and tell him some lies, that that's going to get you in heaven. No. Pride is going to keep a whole lot of people out of heaven. Pride is going to keep a whole lot of people out of heaven. Because folks puffed up, boastful, proud. See, we talk about the homosexuality and the fornication and the whatever else, the adultery. We talk about that. But what about being boastful and proud? What about being high-minded and arrogant? What about those things? About those things? God said, I am God. Beside me, there is no other, and I will share my glory with no man. His glory with no man. Now, hallelujah. So guess what? Boo, boy. Okay? He ain't sharing his glory with you. He created you. Who do you think you are?
Come on. And you, speak this woman to God. What church did Jesus have when he was walking the earth before he left?
None, zero, zip, nada. How many more words can I say it in another language?
He said he didn't even have a place to lay his head.
In French and German.
Look, he ain't have nowhere to lay his head even when he was born. Then he had to go be born in a manger.
I'm not going to tell you about the story in the hotel. The pastors used to come through there when I was managing hotels. They wanted the best room in the house. I'm looking at them like, you know what, I got the room with a TV broken in there, the headboard is taken off the wall, that's the room you going to get, because if Jesus was born in a manger, he wasn't even born in the best room at the time. You're going to go through the same thing he went through. Don't be coming here telling me, Pastor so-and-so, yep, and I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you're going to the room in the back right there. Away from the elevator. I don't have anyone here to carry your luggage. You got to carry it yourself tonight.
Put it on that little track.
Of course, you know,
thing.
They got mad at me, and they called the general manager of the hotel. But let me tell you, I'm the regional manager of the hotel. But let me tell you, you know what? When it comes back around, when you're doing what God told you to do, nothing. If the enemy try to lie on you, it may form, but it will not prosper. Because the regional manager will always tell them, we know Cassandra. She produced.
So if she put you back there, it was a reason you had to be back there. I'm telling you, we are not going to override her authority, because when we call her to manage that hotel, we knew that she can do it. And that's how it is in the kingdom of God. It just don't make no sense. It's just ridiculous.
Let me tell you something.
I mean, it's so ridiculous to that. I'm going to go back to the church. I want to go back to the church because I'm sick of these dead churches with these flat walls and people can't breathe and they're suffocated. And the only somebody up there dancing in the church is the devil and all his children. God's children ain't even in the church no more. God's children have went to the highways and the byways, and the church wondering why they're not blessed. You're not blessed financially because God has left the building a long time ago. And God is not going to bless something that he's not invited to and he's not a part of. Why are we trying to get people saved? And then what's the difference in sending them back to their house with all the drug and all the stuff, their familiar environment, than sending them over to a dead church with familiar spirits? No. How many times we ask a person, you know, sister, I know you just gave your life to Christ, but do you have anyone you can call just in case you have a spiritual emergency? Here's my telephone number right here. If the word of God tells us in the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 20th verse, where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Why are we sending folks to a church and a member of a 500 or 1,000 congregation where they're going to be just another number and treated like a herd of animals? It only needs two or three of y'all. I can get none to have providence, be an evangelist, Scott, and go over to Sister Sonica and so on, and we can have church right there.
Right there. We are the church.
Right there.
Come on.
It don't take a lot of us to get together to have church. That's why so much confusion and crap going on now. There's too many of them out there doing the wrong stuff, involved in the wrong thing. People are tired. They are tired of this mess. If you want to go over there and build up your big church, keep up with your number where your gators snapping everywhere, telling lies, your big old hat, nobody can see what God wants them to see because your hat cup. You do that on your own time, but don't be bringing that mess in God's house. God's temple is supposed to be holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be beside that crowd.
Let me tell y'all something. Okay, we have
Ooh-wee.
2 minutes left. Okay.
This is how we gonna get our scripture tonight.
Oh man, I sure want
we
to get
got
mad
two minutes left. Let me tell y'all all something, okay? Because I'm not saying nothing else after I say this. All right. If there's anybody in the chat room, if there's anybody on the phone line, if there's anybody in the archives that's going to listen to this program, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to get to know him. You can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find out about this Jesus we're talking about. You can contact us on Facebook, Purified Daughter, Minister Bonnie Howell, Prophetess V. You're going to have to say your name for somebody to get in touch with you. G-Man Scott. You can get in touch with any of us on Facebook, and we will pray with you. But the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. But if you don't know who this Jesus is, how you going to believe him? That's how come he sends people like us to come out here and tell you about Jesus. Now, we have less than a minute. Y'all can say what y'all got to say, and that's going to be the end of the broadcast.
Yeah, my scripture is John chapter 15. You were talking about the branches.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, there are many, many branches. You know why? Because we're in the body of Christ. Let me read here. Say, I am the true vine, and that means that he's a genuine vine, and my father is a husbandman. Glory to God. And that means that 15 and 2, glory to God, that means that he is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purge it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. So there are many, many branches. Glory to God. There was an answer to the question. You said, how many branches? So it's many branches. We are the branches. Many branches.
Amen. And this is the end of the broadcast has ended. Okay. But y'all can continue talking because there's still people in the chat room. Okay. And y'all can stay on the phone and continue to talk if that's what you want to do, because I don't want to hinder the Spirit of God. But I do want people that are listening, if you are not born again, you can call right now. We're still on the line. I have not ended the episode. So you can call right now. And Providence V, you have to state your name so people can get in touch with you on Facebook.
Okay. Facebook, they can go, in order to get to me on Facebook, the easiest way to do that is just to go to my Blog Talk page, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/voiceofgod. And once you get there, you'll see my Facebook and Twitter and whatever else. I forget whatever else I got on there, but...
Amen.
We got on that link, and it'll take you straight to me.
All right.
Will you say it again? I'm going to type it in the chat room. www.blogtalkradio.com/... What goes after the slash?
Voice of God.
Voice of God. Y'all heard it. You have heard it. Prophetess V is the voice of God.
Okay, so contact Prophetess V. Contact G-Man Scott. He is an ordained man of God, bishop, apostle. He has so many hats. My husband.
Man.
You can talk to Minister Bonnie Howell. She's also on Facebook. You have Purified Daughter, who's also on Facebook. And you have myself, Teresa, God is Making Me Over Again, Scott, on Facebook. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we have given you at least four names to contact so you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't want to wait to contact any of us, stop what you're doing right now.
Amen.
Stop what you're doing right now and say, you know what, y'all, my phone is ringing. Y'all go ahead and talk.
Amen.
God is so good. I have enjoyed myself tonight.
I let the people know that God loves them, y'all. God loves his people.
Right.
He really
does.
Yes, he loves his people. And God is not the author of confusion, and God does not condemn. Condemnation comes from the enemy. That do not come from God. God loves his people. I'm going to tell y'all, when I was so caught up about 15 years ago, and I tell this story, and it's on my my blog talk also. I tell my blogger, I was talking about how I just went out there and got my tubes tied in 1997. I just had made a sound decision that I was not going to start having sex. And I had already, I grew up in the church. My grandparents was ministers, and I mean, it was just embedded inside of me from day one. I mean, I knew the word. I could quote the word, but couldn't hear the word because my heart was not right. I didn't want to change. But, you know, it got to the point to where even when I would go out to the nightclubs and stuff, and that's why I respect all people, because God can put
that's
his word in the mouth of anyone. If a doggone donkey can talk, I had a donkey to talk. I'm not going to let no rock cry out of my place. That's why my mouth is constantly open. And that's the reason why I have a lot of people coming up against me, because my mouth is open. The enemy would love like hell, that's where he going, back to hell, to shut my mouth. But I'm here to let him know, you're not going to shut my mouth. Because guess what?
That's right.
If my tongue fall out and I can't talk, the anointing will come out in my fingers. If my fingers are cut off and I cannot write and type, the anointing will come off in my feet. If my feet are cut off, the anointing going to go up in my arm. If my arms are cut off, I'm going to get my body and start wiggling it all on the floor for the Lord.
Come on.
Oh, I'm going to give God praise, however I can give it to him. God loves his people. He really do. He loves his people. I cannot express that. I mean, God really, really loves his people. And all this crap going on. I mean, the true men and women that had righteous hearts, we can't go on TV because the enemy and division spirit don't play them on TV. And let me tell you something, TV in, y'all going to hell if you keep on out there lying, playing around with God's people. Don't cut your TV off and stop watching TV in till the Holy Spirit tells you to watch
EBN. Get yourselves in the Holy Bible. It is not diluted. It has not been altered. The Bible is still in its authentic form. Get in the Word of God. If you don't know how to read or write, call me. Family Dollar got a program. They'll teach you how to read. Yep, Family Dollar, where you go to shop. They invest money in programs where people are illiterate and don't know how to read or write. They'll teach you how to read and write. They'll show you how to get your GED. I'm just full of resources. I'm always on the computer.
Come on now.
There's no excuse for ignorance. If you don't know, we can start a program in somewhere at the public library to teach you and start to read and write. If you don't know how to read and write, God has still made a way for you. He put the Bible on all of your shoes. You know how to hear.
Come on.
You know how to listen. I mean, and don't say, and if you deaf, I went to a church one time that they had a whole session of deaf people. These people could not hear. They could not talk. But y'all, let me tell you, when the pastor was up there preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on the deaf people, and they began to fall out and praise God and worship God. And the one that was over there that had every organ working in their body, they had every sight, every hear, everything, they were sitting out like dead, don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I tell you what, I'm finna move from over this side right here. I'm going over here where they're praising the Lord at.
Come on.
I'm serious.
Come on.
It's just time out. It's so time out. Stop running behind these leaders because they got big cars and big houses and stuff and fancy words. You have allowed yourself to be drawn away by doctrines and false teachings, and your feet are running toward lies, and the Word of God plainly tells what's going to happen with those people. Fuck going to lead you to hell. Fuck going to lead you to destruction. Stop running behind any and everything. If the Holy Spirit tells me to sit at home and don't go nowhere, trust me. You can't even lure me out the house because I'm going to obey the Holy Spirit at all costs. That's all I have left in this earth. I don't have anything left in this earth that's more valuable to me than my relationship with God. That's it. I'm 37 years old, and the old son asked me, what do you do? Worship God. Where do you go? In God's presence. Everything I do is about God. Everything I am is God. I don't have time to go to the mall and buy clothes because I wear my spiritual garment every day. I have on my armor every day. I don't want to be putting on some raggedy dead clothes on this body on top of my armor. I want to keep on God's clothes. I don't have time to go to the movie theater because I can get in the presence of God, and every time he shows me something else about him that's new, that's the movie within itself.
Amen.
I don't have time for all that stuff. And people say, your life is so boring. Yeah, it's boring to you because you're not where I am. And that's okay. Because your walk and my walk may be two different walks. And what God told you to do and what he told me to do may be two different things. But honey, let me tell you, everything I am, everything that I do, I live, I breathe, I have my being, and I move in the Holy Spirit. And in the spirit realm, I can't even breathe outside of God.
Come on.
I can't go back. People keep running back and forth. They're in the club this week. They're in church on Sunday. They over here sleeping in the bed with this man. They sleeping in the bed with that man. See, you know what? Go ahead. If that's what you want to do, go ahead. But see, that doesn't fulfill me. All that stuff drove me almost crazy. To the point to where I couldn't think no more. I couldn't function no more. I couldn't do anything. I completely shut down because it was no longer a part of me. We cannot continue to put ourselves in places where we're going to be a citizen of that land like the prodigal son, knowing good and time well we don't belong over there. And then you know what God said? What they did to the prodigal son after he became a citizen of that land? You know what? The word of God said they gave him a job out there working with the pigs, the swine. They didn't even put him with them.
That's right.
And I have reason to believe Papa is being in this house. They didn't even give him any food. Because the word of God said that he began to eat what the swines ate. They didn't care nothing about him. The enemy doesn't care anything about you. He doesn't care. But God does. God loves his children. He loves his people. I'm so sick of folks talking about the devil. The devil ain't did crap. King never did nothing. All that he did was open him up and disobey God, and he got kicked out of heaven.
Come on.
That's all he did was disobey his creator and got kicked and thrown out of heaven. He doesn't have authority. The Bible says in 1 John 4, for the greater one, great is he that is in you, that he that is in the world.
Come on.
The word of God said in Luke 10 that I have given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. The devil do not have power to do nothing. I'm sick of people making qualifiers. You know who the devil is? The devil is you. You your own devil.
Come on.
It's time out. It's really time out. And the next person tells me, talking about some, or making a New Year resolution, I say, no, what you're doing is thinking of new ways to tell lies.
Come on now.
That's all you're doing. That's all you're doing, because God already got your life mapped out from day one to the end. There's no New Year resolution that has not been created since the beginning of time in the book of Genesis. That's nothing new.
Come
under the sun, the Bible says. Nothing new. So what are you planning? I don't have to plan my life, because the Bible says the steps of a good man is order. God has already mapped out where he wants me to go and what he wants me to do. I don't have to come up with New Year resolutions. Renew yourself in the word of God and get renewed.
Come on, that's a new way to make the flesh feel good again. I'm going to go jogging, I'm going to go singing, I'm going to go dancing, I'm going to do this, I'm going over here and doing that. You ain't going to do none of them things. You may start off doing them, but you're not going to continue doing them. You know why? You had no intentions on doing them in the first place. We got to come back to reality. That is self-deception. You have no intention on really changing these habits. Because if you wanted to do something, you would do it. What people want to do, they are already doing. You don't have to get me to the store. I know where the store is. I'm going to the store. And you don't have to come with me to the store. I'm going to go to the store because I know what I want in the store. I know what I want. And I'm going to get what I want.
They never asked God, though. They're not John 14, Prophet B 13 and 14 told the people that whatever they will, they ask it in God's name and he'll do it. Nobody never asked God what they want to do. They just automatically just come up with this stuff, I'm going to do this. And then they got this New Year stuff.
Come on.
And then when it don't work out, then they want to start crying. Yeah.
Well,
nobody never asked God. Because they know God's going to not hear that mess.
Come on, why would they ask God? They don't want to know what God got to say. God ain't got nothing to do with what they get ready to
do. But
they want
to run around and be a prophet's whore. They want to be a prophet's whore every time you tell them, I get so sick of folks. Oh, the prophet said, you done ran to five different prophets. And five different prophets done told you five different things, and none of them took you to the word of God and said that every prophecy you need for your life is in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. You just need to get in there and study, and God will reveal it to you.
Come on, because we're too busy making people our God and not letting God be God.
A girl called me the other night and said, well, what did the Lord say for me? Get in the Bible.
I
deal with crystals. Well, I don't know nothing about no crystals. Mm. But I know something about holy oil. I know about the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm like, no, listen here. I'm not going to say nothing to nobody until the Holy Spirit tells me. Don't come, and this is for anybody who listens to this. Do not come on my Facebook page, inboxing me, or call my telephone number, or emailing me, asking me what God said about to you. Because then I can assure you, when God give me a word for you, your flesh ain't going to like it anyway.
Come on now.
It's not going to be something your flesh going to want to receive if you got to ask what God is saying. Because 100% of the time, God has already said it to you. You just didn't want to listen.
Come on.
Ask me what God is saying. I don't care who it is. Because I promise you, you're not going to want to hear, and then you're going to walk away mad.
Come on.
And I'm just going to say, God bless him. And I'm going to keep on moving.
Let it go, that woman of God. Hosea 4:6.
I never heard Jesus speak stuff that people want to hear. Come on. It's ridiculous. All this mess got to be cut out, Prophetess B and Minister Howell. This mess got to stop. The enemy done went on TV.
Get down to the real
they done took
that's
over the air out of TV telling lies to the people of God. They done went on. We had Black Preacher Network. I had to come over there line all out there. Doctor, they fighting division. God ain't no hell you out there debating with one another. He doesn't do that with his word. His word, the principles never change. Then they go on Facebook.
Right.
They don't took over Facebook.
Something that we're not dealing with now is the confusion that people see and why they're not giving their life over to Christ and why they're not seeing that that's what it needs to be. When you look at all these other different religions and you look at all of these other different cults and people who are doing, you know, satanism and all that other stuff that they're doing, where do you find those people? On one accord, don't you? They all saying the same thing. They all believe the same thing. They are the most peaceful looking, and I'm not saying they have real peace. They are the most sweetest sounding or acting. They make them people really feel like this is somewhere you need to be. But when you look over in the body of Christ, what do you see? Come on now.
They want
you
to manipulate you to get the 14.
Come on.
They don't want to start out with this is what it is. And over here, we're about Jesus Christ. Know what they want to do. Oh, God, I do this. God do this. God do this. No. The foundation of Christianity, Christ. Christ is in there. That's
right.
The foundation. And for anybody who come over here talking about they are a Christian but do not want to stand 2 feet with Christ and walk with Christ, you're a deceiver.
Come on.
You're manipulating.
Better tell them what the word of God says, woman of God. They are not all Jews who call themselves Jews.
Okay.
Ah, yeah.
That was
a problem. If somebody's preaching something and it does not reflect back to Jesus Christ, they're not a part of, they're part of a body but not his body.
Come on.
And I told them, I told my relatives one time. I'm like, you know what? Y'all don't want me to come in y'all house? I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Y'all can't come in my house sleeping with y'all men and telling lies.
That's right.
Because see, over here, this house belongs to Jesus. This body belongs to Jesus. Everything in this house belongs to Jesus.
Come on.
You just can't be taking unclean things and from the enemy and then try to take it to God and make it right. I heard people say, oh, if somebody give me a lottery ticket, just as sure as it hit my hand, God gonna bless it. That's a lie. God don't have to bless you with unclean things. You see what happened to Lot, didn't you? Let me tell you what happened to Lot. Lot thought because that he was part of Abraham that he still was gonna get the blessings of Abraham. So he decided he was going to trick Abraham. He was going to go on the other side over there where all the money was and all the gay people and all the ungodly and the evil and the sin and stuff. And he was going to give a land that he thought was no good to Abraham. He was going to just try to deceive Abraham. But let me tell you, when Lot got over there, Lot was came for a big surprise, okay? God blessed Lot because of Abraham, the covenant he made with Abraham. God did not go and bless Lot in the land that Lot was in. God sent the angels in to get Lot to pull Lot up out of the land. Lot had done got so small, he had done got him a wife from over there. He had done went and just did it up, did it big. He did it big. But you know what? She was so wrong. She was so dirty and unclean. She was so not saved. She was so not renewed in her mind. She was so not of God. Because when God gave a command, she couldn't even follow a simple command. She turned around and looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. She was already hard like salt. She was already like that. She was planted in the midst of Lot just to cause trouble and division. Folks, y'all better wake up and realize that some folk is planted in the midst of y'all just to destroy y'all.
That's right.
Stop making excuses for stuff that is not of God. I love you, Daniel Scott said, call a spade a spade. You don't know that minute.
Come on.
Somebody told me, you love money. No, it's not that I love money. But I can do a whole lot with money for the God's people than I can without being broke. And you're not going to have me. I'm not going to go over to nobody who don't know how to manage God's money and ask them to show me how to invest money. Uh-uh.
I know that's
because
right.
I'm going to get the same knowledge that they got, zero zip, negative bank account.
Come
no.
On.
I'm going to walk with people that got wisdom. I'm going to walk with people that got a grounded relationship with God because I want the relationship that they have with God. I want God to produce in my life that he's producing in theirs. So if you're walking with anybody
right.
and they're not producing, you need to find out if that's where God wants you to be.
Come
you need to get you behind where you're supposed to be at because a lot of this stuff lack. God is not a father of lack. He said he'll supply all of our needs, every last one of them. I mean, he said he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. I mean, if your heart's so small, you just want $1 million, well, I tell you what, you better open up 5 or 6 bank accounts so you may get $1 trillion. That's how big God is.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on.
God wants you to walk in the overflow because God knows he gives you just enough. Then you'll get selfish. That'll be all about you. We have to walk in the overflow because we got to continue to be a blessing for people. And I'm not just talking about overflowing money. I'm talking about overflowing wisdom, overflowing love, overflowing relationships, overflowing kindness, overflowing goodness, overflowing mercy and grace, everything.
My stomach. I go for my procedure on Thursday.
Come on.
For my stomach.
You know, probably even folks here, they should say, you know what? It's something about her that's different. I want to be like her. And it should leave. It should prompt them to come over and ask us. You know, what is this about you? I just don't understand. And the first words should come out your mouth of Jesus. That's what you want.
I had a young lady ask me one day when I was coming from getting ready to come to my house. She knows me. And she knows the old me. Right.
I've been laying down. I've been laying down for almost 2 weeks.
So she asked me, she said, why are you so happy? You know, why? You got such a glow, such a smile. I said, that's because of Jesus Christ. So Jesus has been good to me, honey. And I had to stand there and I witnessed to her and I testified to her. And I let her know, it ain't come from me. What you see didn't come from me.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, will you call Judy and ask Judy? And no, she
called her from him.
Yeah, I really need her tonight. I was like, oh, Pastor Jim, what's your phone number?
Probably I'm so tired of people being fake and phony. I'm just... You know, I have a disease. I'm just going to be so honest with y'all. And my disease is that
if I'm
allergic to sin. I break out and hide. And I start acting like real holy and like breaking out and stuff and like want to dance and shout. I'm allergic to sin. I can't deal with that foolishness. I'm allergic to ignorance.
No,
I can't deal with it. I cannot get in the midst of that stuff because the first thing I get is a horrible headache. I cannot be delivered and set free and then in the midst of something that's not pleasing to God and I get a headache.
Okay.
I went into a church one time. They call themselves a holiness church. We're a house of deliverance. Well, why when I stepped inside of your house, I started vomiting and I got sick and stuff? Your house is not a house of deliverance. Your house is a house of demonic spirits. And you're not affected by it because you are a part of it.
Yep.
Right.
Shut this crap down. I don't see nobody getting healed back up in here. Nobody getting delivered back up in here. Cut this mess out. All these storefront churches. God, I have never seen so many storefront churches in my entire life that's not producing leaders for God. I have never seen so many folk come up with titles. Where in the Bible does it say it's Archbishop elect? Somebody show me that.
I didn't realize I didn't have my hands on. I had these.
I haven't read it.
Where in the Bible it says minister elect? Somebody show me that.
Yeah.
Where in the Bible it says first lady? Somebody show me that. I read a bride of Christ. Somebody show me all
this
stuff.
Come on. It comes from man. You got to think about when you're looking at the stuff that the Roman people were doing, the Catholics, where they came with those archbishops and when they came with, you know, the Pope and the Father, when they came with other things outside of just what in the Word of God. We started, you know, creating our own thing, and that's when, you know, the Bible, when Jesus talked about in the Bible when they were saying, well, why did your servant eat with unwashing hands? And he was like, listen, that does not defile you.
You over here teaching people traditions of men. It's not what goes into the body. It's what comes out of the body that's defiling the body. You over here teaching these people about washing their hands, but you ain't cleaning the inside of your body. You ain't getting rid of none of that stuff that's in you that needs to come out of you, but you're always dealing with this outward man. This outward man perishing.
You better preach it. I mean, it's time out now. This message is ridiculous. It is really enough is enough. That's all I have to say. Enough is enough, y'all. I mean, someone's going to have to stand up and stand bold for Jesus in this earth. Because I'm going to tell you, the word of God plainly says, Jesus said, if you deny me in the presence of men, I'm going to deny you in the presence of my Father.
Amen.
It's time out.
That's right. Yes, it is.
It's time out. How much more is God going to have to show us? What 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, in the last day, men going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They're going to be boastful. They're going to be arrogant, revilers, disobedient to the parent, ungrateful, unholy, unleavened. I mean, malicious, gossip. Oh, you know what? Let's pray for sister so-and-so. And so. She, stop. Let's pray for sister so-and-so. And so she, stop.
Monday.
Why you keep stopping me when I say she? All because right. Everything after that, you're about to gospel. Shut your mouth. You're about to gossip about sister so-and-so. And so. I don't need to know what sister so-and-so and so is going through. The only thing you need to let me know, we need to pray for sister so-and-so. And so. The Holy Spirit already know what she's going through. Shut your mouth.
That's right.
Y'all still on the phone?
Yes, and we heard you. You were on the phone too.
Good Jesus.
You're on the phone.
You sure you'll get your blog talk for 5 hours?
No,
you know,
okay.
Mr. Howard probably V and I can talk. You know we
Wait
can talk.
A minute.
We can talk
5 hours. Yeah, I heard that. I heard you slip that one in. Yeah, yup. Uh huh.
It's your turn, Mr. Howard. It's your turn. I'm gonna be quiet. It's your turn, yeah.
I didn't talk that now. I know we done went over Bangler Scott time. Over. You done asked some more time on, right?
I ain't had no more time.
Blanchard gonna be billing you. you went over your hour. We got to bill you.
No, let me tell you something.
They give you a certain amount of time.
Blanchard Radio, you can stay on the line and talk all you want to, but they're not recording it. The recording.
No, it's recorded in here, but we don't need to record it.
Yeah,
the
recording. Yeah, it's
in
archive.
Online.
Right,
Amen.
But this, all the stuff y'all talk about right now,
mm-hmm.
it's only going to record for 2 hours. So that's all that's all it's getting paid for is 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
So all of this after hours stuff is, you know, is just y'all on the phone.
Well, you know, folks don't say nothing when they say after hours at the club. The doors of the black club and the club in the parking lot. They meet up at the crystal. They meet up at Beverly so we can have an after hour party.
I was trying to say it was 5 o'clock and life was on.
I ain't mad at y'all. They go to the speakeasy after hours.
I'm ready to have a Holy Ghost sleepover. Everybody get their sleeping bags and you get on the ground, talk and have a sleepover. We talk about the Holy Spirit and we'll never fall asleep. We still talk about it when the sun goes up.
Lord, see, the Holy Ghost party don't stop.
That's right.
I know that's right.
They said it ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party because a Holy Ghost party don't
party
stop.
Don't stop.
Ooh,
I
ain't
no party
right.
like a Holy Ghost party because a Holy
Y'all
Ghost party don't stop.
Y'all don't
want
to see me dance, so I ain't got no step yet.
Who said that?
Mr. Howard laughing.
Who said that?
Maria.
Cassandra said that.
You know, you don't want to see me dance because I don't have a step.
Yeah, did you say that?
You know, I be hyped up because I be drunk on the Mountain Dew. The Holy Spirit be drunk on the Mountain Dew. So you don't want to see me. You know, when I was in the club, I used to fall asleep at the club table. They used to tell me, you know, you don't belong here. Anybody who fall asleep at the nightclub, anything except to go on, they coming to wake me up, ma'am, everybody gone. You been sleeping the whole thing. So that's how I am when it's time to dance in the presence of God. Y'all, I just fall out. I don't know what happened.
I
get so consumed by the Holy Spirit, I just fall completely out.
I know that's right. That's why I was saying when I was in the world and I was going to the club, And they were somebody trying to go home. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. I ain't finished partying yet. I don't care if it's 5 o'clock. I hear that. Don't you shut them doors. I'm trying to party. So when it comes to the Lord and God and the Holy Ghost, oh, man, I can do that all day, all night long.
Amen.
It don't never end for me. It never ends.
Prophetess V, I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit is testing me because my friend didn't want me to go out with them. They used to use me to be a designated driver. Because they say, you ain't up to no good. You fall asleep. You don't even know how to party no more. You know? Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad the Holy Spirit don't say that to me.
I know that's right.
Y'all was funny,
but
let me tell y'all something. I've been out all day. Y'all can stay on the line all night long if you want to. I'm finna go to sleep.
She's a party pooch. She's a party
pooch,
y'all. She don't know how to party no more.
I'm not partying no more. I told y'all to stay right on the line. I said, Miss Howell, you're laughing.
That's what she is. Miss Howell
laughing
because
she tired, too.
Hey, man, I tell you, but it's been fun, y'all. I tell you, we have had a treat on tonight.
Yes, we have.
See, sometimes it pays to listen when I say get on the phone, doesn't it?
Yes.
Look, when y'all coming to Georgia? Y'all need to come to Georgia. When y'all coming?
My husband already told me I could go.
Hopefully I'll be there sometime.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Probably be in Mr. Howe. When y'all come to Georgia?
You know what?
Y'all welcome to come to my heart. I'll give y'all my address. I've been trying to get her to come for the last couple of months.
She knows I have extenuating circumstances.
That's why I told her to come to Georgia.
What part of Georgia do you live in?
I live in Conyers, but I'm on the outskirts of Atlanta.
I'm probably
about 30 minutes from Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a straight shot. I can just leave down my street and get on I-20, and it'll take me right into Atlanta. I just live on the outskirts of Atlanta. Can't live up there in the city without that noise, honey.
Minister Howell,
I don't know
where
how to stop partying up there in Atlanta, and it ain't even the Holy Ghost party either.
Where, Minister Howell, where you live?
Orlando, Florida.
Where you live at, Providence V?
Miami.
I used to live in
Miami when I was young. I think it was it wasn't Dade County, it was Liberty City or something like that.
Yeah,
I had to be
about
4 years old or something like that. I see you, Minister Howe. I got brothers and sisters down there in Orlando. They've been trying to get me to come.
Okay.
All right now.
And it's more of them to get in the car and drive up here, honey. It's just one of me. I have to stop 15 times before I get where I'm going.
Uh-oh. Yeah, my pastor's from Liberty City in my Miami.
Oh, go ahead on. All right now.
Mm-hmm. I used to get lost up under them orange trees. They used to come look for me, child. I've been picked out on 4 oranges. Mama said, drop them right now.
And I love that.
She make you drop them? Stealing the people's
oranges? Yeah, she made me drop them. You can't be going in them 4 orange grove picking that stuff out. Those people make money. That's stealing. My mama said, drop them and get over here.
Yeah, charge you $500 per fruit from...
But I was 3 or 4 years old. I wasn't dare try to do it. Now, yeah, they only want you to pick up the ones off the ground, child.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got to use the ones on the ground to make that no-name orange juice.
Mm-hmm. The genetic. Hey,
you know,
the genetic.
Stop with something like that.
The generic.
They got to use. You can't take everything.
I'm
having
people looking for y'all, telling all these secrets.
I know, right? Like those right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Now people ain't gonna want to buy no name brand orange juice no more because they're gonna be somebody that came off the ground. But it don't stop people from eating chocolate from that cocoa tree. They have all them gnats and flies flying around it, but it still be good after they go through the process.
That's why we better pray when we eat. Because you don't know what's going up in your body, all the stuff that they do. My ex-mother-in-law says she will not eat ketchup until this day because she used to work in a ketchup factory, and she seen them spill the ketchup on the floor and scoop it up and put it back in the vat and mix it up with the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, you never know.
I worked at a chicken factory before, and every part of the chicken is processed. The bones,
They grind that up and feed it back to the chicken. The fat, they use that and sell it to the cosmetic company to put inside a makeup. Every part of that chicken goes somewhere. It not one part of it don't go anywhere. Every part.
Mm, that's right. Mm. That's right. But you know what? They do that everywhere, though. If you would go in a restaurant and actually work in a restaurant and be in the back, you would not eat hardly ever.
I
to
know.
To be honest, if, I mean, if you see half of the stuff that goes on, you really wouldn't. And it's not every restaurant and it's not every person, but they do those kinds of things.
And those pizza, they say they drop them on the floor and put them back in the cart and bring them right onto your house.
And you
and that's why when I was working fast food and I was working in the kitchen and I was, they would ask me to wash dishes or whatever, they would hate me because I'm not going to half wash this stuff. I'm not going to give people something that's half washed and they have food in it and then these people get sick or so. I'm not going to, if you send me over there to wash dishes, I'm washing them.
Honey, I was at Taco Bell and we had a girl, she literally had AIDS. And thank God that I was a shift leader. And I'm like, baby, listen here, I don't discriminate against you, but you can't be working like that with the food. I need you to get out there and clean the table. Or I need you to get up here and run the cash register. Let me tell you something. God heal you all the way through. I don't need for other people to get an epidemic sickness in the earth, okay? And one girl, she couldn't realize why she couldn't wear fall fingernails. I'm like, Mavis, you can't wear fall fingernails. Well, I'm going to wear them. I say, yep, you're going to wear them right on out the door. Clock out and go on home. Because you see this pizza right here? One of your nails don't fell off in your pizza, honey. You got to get up out of here. You got to go.
Okay.
I don't mind getting rid of you if you don't want to act right. You don't want to act right, it don't bother me. Bye. When you want to act right, come back.
I know that's right. That's how God said in his kingdom. You ain't going to run his kingdom, Randy. Either you don't act right or get gone.
Glory.
This kingdom already had principles. We don't need for you to come in to establish nothing. We need for you to
come in
to be a servant. Pick up your position where you're going to serve and get busy doing it.
That's
you don't want
right.
to do that. See, come on, let me walk you to the door. Come on, I'm going to open the door for you like a woman. Like the Holy Spirit doing like a gentleman. I'm going to open the door for you.
I want to do a broadcast. I want to do a broadcast entitled, Are You Being Purged or Cast Into the Fire?
Wow.
You hitting heavy.
That's from John 15. Every branch that beareth not fruit, every branch that beareth not fruit, is cast into the fire. And burned.
That's a heavy hitter there.
So I would rather be cast into that fire. That not belong to God, and at the end be cast into the other fire of Revelation.
Because it ain't no hope of getting out of that one.
And see, that's just to say, there's no earthly good.
Come on.
Y'all trying to start something up in here?
Jesus, minister, burn it out. Take it.
Come on.
The flow is
you know what? We better let Evangelist Scott get some rest. I'm going to hang
up,
y'all.
Don't call me when your broadcast over either because I'm going to bed.
Ain't nobody thinking about calling
you. I can't do my homework, y'all. Y'all, I started college up on the Bishop Hutchinson. I can't be on the phone talking to you that much because I'm a college student, get my degree in theology so I can get study to show myself approved.
Why would you know that part? Why would she be putting my name out there like that, though? She done slapped me on the cheek. I'm turning the other one.
I love you, though.
Hey, you got the spirit in you now.
Here you go. Don't slap the other one.
Oh, Lord.
I'm a student now. I'm not a teacher. I'm a student, so don't be calling me. I'm a student. I got to learn.
I don't know, man.
That's why I took my spiritual leave. I'm having my surgery on the 20th. I'm going to be down for about 4 to 6 weeks, so the doctors say. I already predicted 1 week because I can't stay down that long. After I come out of my surgery, I'm going to be a student until the Holy Spirit tells me to get back and start teaching. I'm going to be a student. I'm going to allow my teachers to teach me.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. But you better not try to be, don't be too fast, Missy. Okay, you better be wise. with that surgery.
That's
you
right.
better be wise. Don't be trying to be too
go.
Fast,
here
Missy.
Here we go. Here we go to elders. Here we go. Here we
now
go.
Now overwork the body.
I'm just trying to tell you something, okay?
Here we
Amen.
Go. Here we go again. Here go to elders. You, you sound like my grandmama. You sound like the late Miss Ruth and May Calloway. God.
Thank you. Can
Uh-oh.
I get a, can I get an amen?
I didn't know she was still looking
amen.
Around.
Amen.
Thank you for the
Jesus.
Amen. That's right, amen corner. That's
okay,
right.
Okay, I will. I'm getting prepared. I'm getting prepared. I'm done with the painting. I wanted it to feel like I was just in the presence of God, and I got blue to remind me of water.
Girl, go on up and put Winnie the Pooh on your wall if you want to. Ain't nobody
no,
got
I'm
no business.
Come over here.
Ain't nobody got no business up in your bedroom anyway. So
hey,
put
my
man,
children
the,
be coming back up in here. My children
want.
Be coming back up in here, okay?
Tell your
my daughter been all posting it on Facebook. Look at my mama room.
And then she would have to, that would be the day of her eviction.
Look, here she go mention how, oh, this tweet, there's a tweet right here. My mama got Winnie the Pooh on her wall.
Okay. Ain't nothing private no more.
Winnie the Pooh.
Mama, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You got Winnie the Pooh. Here's a damn.
If you wasn't
like, I would love to put me a big old Winnie the Pooh sticker on my wall. Y'all love Winnie the Pooh.
Look, but
I
if
would.
She wasn't telling, if she wasn't telling it on Facebook, how would anybody know?
I know.
That's the point. She gonna tell it, so I'm gonna have to hide it. Get me a Winnie the Pooh pillow. But that's all right because I'm not done. By the time I'm done, my bedroom door will have a padlock on it. Okay, I'm locking myself up.
She don't know. I better win her
room. I'm serious. I'm going to get in the whole part. Y'all can have the rest of the house. I don't need to go downstairs. I'm putting me a refrigerator in here. I got a bathroom in here, a TV, my Bible, the computer. I got everything I need. They so grown. They know how to get themselves up for school. They know how to cook. They can cook better than me. They all have license.
Right.
They can drive and go. They need to go child free. They can let me rest. I'm not sudden in there. Say something
else. How many you have,
I have three here with me, and I got one in college. But my second one, he's in college too, but he's local. So he'll be leaving in January, going out to Columbus State, majoring in criminal justice. And I have two, my ninth grader and my tenth grader.
Oh, okay.
He's at the house. So my baby's in the ninth grade. When you see him, you'll think that he's the man. He's the oldest. He's 6'4", and he's only 14. I said, oh, no, honey, y'all can't go nowhere with me because y'all going to bring me with a husband. Nobody ain't going to want to approach me because when they see y'all walking with me, they're going to think that y'all my husband going somewhere. Don't even walk with me over there.
She about to get a new baby, though.
Uh-oh. Who's the new baby? Who's
my
play.
Cat.
Don't play.
I'm sending my cat.
Oh, yeah. her cat talks back to you, y'all.
Oh, wow. Baby.
She don't train this cat to talk.
Wow.
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Now she talk too much.
Uh-oh. I just got to say something. She be to my...
I know that's
what
like
are you
that
saying? What are you saying? Evangelist Scott say, get out of here. Go in there. Yo, she got her own room. The cat got her own room. Go in your room. No, it's time for her to get... you need to get your water going. And every time she starts talking about... You need to pump that water gun and skeet the crap out of
her. Every time I go to the store, I forget.
I used to train my cat.
Oh, Lord.
I
but
forget
you know what?
Every
I had
time.
A good cat. I had a really nice one. My cat thought that he was a dog and not a cat. And when I used to go to school, he would walk me to the bus stop. He would wait for me on the way I get home. He'd be right there at the same bus stop. He would walk me to the store and wait outside. He would come out the store. He was in my room when I went to sleep. That cat was very much a dog.
She don't want the cat to be in her room. She kicks the cat out of her bed. Well, I had no blood. My cat would get on the bottom of my feet and lay on the top of my feet and keep my feet warm. My cat would get like your cat.
My
she was loving and caring. She throw her cat
I'm
out of the room.
I'm going to tell y'all something.
She her cat.
No, my
I'm
cat
tell y'all
she so get
funny
right that. Underneath me. I don't like that. And then she be all up
no,
on me. And then,
no,
then she be all up on there. Get I don't got no milk for you. Get away from me. Oh, bye.
Ooh.
I'm
going to
tell you
something
funny. My husband going to get upset with me, but I got to tell
you.
Uh-oh. What you had head on? Chicken.
That part, I told her her cat don't have low self-esteem. She do something to that cat any kind of way. I'm like,
uh-uh. Hey, my husband had a chicken named Jimmy.
That cat, that chicken,
used to walk him to the bus stop and be there when he get off the bus. So one day the chicken came up missing, right?
Oh no, y'all eat him.
They were eating.
Wait, what happened to the kid? What happened to Jimmy?
So they were
what
eating.
Jimmy?
And so Mama said, "Mama, where's Jimmy? You eating Jimmy?"
Oh,
he was so hurt.
Wait, but she wasn't.
They don't eat Jimmy.
Jimmy.
They don't eat Jimmy.
I have to put my sister on the phone and let y'all tell them. My cat was named Mr. P. But I found out when I took Mr. P to the doctor to get fixed that it was a Miss P. So the cat got declawed and everything, and somebody left the back door open, and the cat went out, y'all. I was crying. I saw my sister on. Y'all seen just so pain. My sister had me on the speakerphone. My mom and my other sister, they were just dying laughing in the background. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went on the computer, y'all, and print up all my ends. Don't put the cat picture out there. They cried. Miss Jackie, y'all, guess where the cat was? The cat was in a bush on the side of the hall waiting for somebody to open the door so he can get back in the hall.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, I love that cat. That cat called my niece and nephew to get beat down many times. They had I thought the children had them tore up the mini blind. Come to find out, y'all, when I left the house to go to work, the cat would get up there in the base of the window, and he would put his little paws up there. And I'm toward the blind, so I had all the kids to stand up to the blind to see which arm would reach up there. And you could see them, they were trying to stretch their arm so their arm wouldn't be so long. So finally, when I got tired of playing with all of them, I just beat them all and put them to bed. Y'all don't toward this woman. Don't toward these old blind in this house. The cat, they still talk about that to this day. Auntie said, "You remember when you beat us?" I'm telling you, the cat done beat it. Thank you, the children done beat it.
The cat was laughing at you.
And my daughter, I kept going to her room and it was smelling so nasty. And I'm like, real stickler for cleanliness. And I'm like, why is this room so stinky? That don't make no sense. When I get off of work, this room better be clean. Well, I'm going to be bottom. Do you hear me? I don't beat the children a couple of days later. They say, "Mom, we clean the room." I don't beat the kids, and I went out trying to clean it. I look up on the bed. I noticed that morning I had them put some hamburger meat out. The cat, y'all, done hopped in the seat, grabbed the hamburger meat, drug it up 15 stairs, got up out of my children in bed, and he had been eating out of the meat. Oh, I could have beat that cat.
Man.
A lot of overdue butt whippings, okay?
All right, y'all. Good night.
All right, good night.
I love y'all, but good night. I'm disconnecting right now.
All right, be blessed, everybody.
You too. Good night.
Jimmy down,
good night.
Jimmy
gone.
Good night, y'all. Good night, Papa.